trying to not get in, and Detroit wanted him to get in.
Nice job! None of you!
He has time, hesitates, throws, touchdown, Lions! And T.J. Hockenson!
Good job.
Hey, what's poppin'? It is the Drew and Mike Show, starting another October week, which means it's Mike Clark month, and we will have some sort of Mike Clark operation at the end of the show, which people have been very pleased with and a lot of feedback on it, which is great. So there you go. And Mike Clark, I was thinking about his phone messages and voicemails on Saturday. Watching Michigan State. Oh my God, what a disaster that was.
Yeah.
How many turnovers do they have?
Seven? Does that sound right?
Yeah, I think it, I thought it was seven. That's why I asked.
They outgained Rutgers, so that's cool.
I mean, Rutgers is terrible, aren't they?
Yeah, but you know what? Some people like them getting 8.5. That's all they said.
Rutgers getting 8.5? Rutgers was getting 8.5?
8.5. With both new coaches, Schiano, a bunch of transfers, I don't know. That sucks for them.
Well, Schiano's a pretty proven entity.
That's what I mean.
Well, Tucker, I don't know so much.
I think Tucker will be fine, but maybe not this year.
Yeah, he probably will. They might be, honestly, they might be sort of in the Bobby Williams zone.
Oh, wow, really? Is that because he's black?
No. No, I want to make that very clear. No, I really think they are. They are very down.
Well, maybe it's the John L. Smith zone.
Could be. It could be the John L. Smith zone. I think it's the Bobby Williams zone, but we'll see. They're going to find out real fast because they play Michigan.
Oh, that's right. Noon.
How can that happen so fast? I mean, here we just are like, oh my God, thank God, finally, Big Ten football's here, and then boom, second week, Michigan State. Holy shit!
I'm getting kind of sick of all the crazy stats. You know, like the coldest first opening game, blah blah blah, and then
it's not a normal opening weekend. Duh.
No shit. But then another way, I was just telling Brandon. I think Michigan tweeted out it's the announced attendance was 529 people, and it's the fewest amount Michigan's played in front of in over 100 years. And I just said, God, we have a weird fascination with attendances at Michigan. Hey,
come on, it's a pandemic.
No, I know.
It doesn't count.
None of these count. The year shouldn't even count.
But. Anyway, Michigan surprised people by looking very well put together. I am so pumped about Joe Milton. He looked really good, I thought.
Yeah, over 10 yards an attempt. Not bad.
What I was most excited about. I was most excited about his running because he looks like he could be a great runner. I mean, not a great runner, but he looks like he is a weapon. He's a dual weapon. I didn't really think of him that way because all they talk about is his arm.
Yeah.
He looked good. Really good.
Minnesota looked bad, though.
They did.
Michigan! I mean, the defensive line is a joke for them.
The kickers being out was certainly a huge factor.
I either texted you or the group that I'm on. I said, the clear MVP of this game is COVID for taking out their kicker, which gave them that short kick return, and the punter, which led to the ridiculous fake on 4th-and-3.
The ridiculous fake. They also, I saw one 16-yard punt, and there was another punt that was, I don't think it was much longer. I was like, anybody could punt longer than that, couldn't they?
You would think so. But then, you know, that guy's a walk-on. And
they don't have anybody among 95 guys who can punt the ball 30 yards.
They don't have a soccer player they can steal.
Yeah, I mean, that seemed kind of crazy to me. But
can they get Kathy Ireland or something?
That's right. What a great idea. So, I mean, we haven't even gotten to the best sports topic of the day, but already, I mean, God, I was excited to see. I was excited to watch Michigan State, and when they got within 28-20, I was excited. It was fun to have them on. And then, of course, there were the other great Big Ten games. Ohio State was playing Nebraska. That was close for a while.
Mm-hmm.
The Penn State-Indiana game.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So funny. So, I don't know what was more funny, that or Todd Gurley with the Falcons.
I think Todd Gurley was funnier because Todd Gurley realized, what the fuck am I doing? I'm not supposed to score here. And he was closer to stopping. The Penn State guy, it didn't even cross his mind.
No, the Penn State guy, when he got to about the 5-yard line, was doing one of those, what? Why is everyone yelling at me to stop? And then he just fell forward.
How could
two programs that big not have that communicated to the person carrying the ball. And I realize the Lions won, and everybody should be happy about that. I'm sure they are.
Well, they still march down and score.
Yeah, they did. No, that's, you know, and Stafford does that. Stafford is a guy that can always do that. I don't care who it is or what the circumstance. When we're down 13 points in the fourth quarter, I always feel like, well, you know, with Stafford fireworks, you never know. You can be down 20 points in the third quarter, and I feel like he could make it interesting. He can always make it interesting. And he just happened to get it done on a nice final play there to Hockenson. But how in the world, when they got the first down with a minute 12 on the 9-yard line, and when they lined up on the next play, I was like, wait, why aren't they in the victory formation? Because there's no way they can't run out the clock. And I was like, They're not going to hand it off to somebody and have them running for a touchdown. They're not. There's no way. There's no way they would do that. And they did it!
They're pretty dumb sometimes.
I mean, how can it be that the one guy who doesn't understand that the game is won if they do anything but score a touchdown is the guy that gets the ball?
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I don't know. And it looked like one of the Lions guys really wanted to tackle him, too. Did you notice that?
Oh yeah.
And I wish I remembered what player that was, because immediately he started pointing to the ground right in front of the goal line, like, he was down. He was down on the 1-inch line. It's like, no. And then another Lions player's going, no, it's a touchdown. Yippee.
I totally missed that.
Oh yeah.
I totally missed that.
Cue it back up for you.
Oh my God. And you mean to tell me, I have to believe, was there somebody from Indiana trying to tackle the Penn State guy?
No. Indiana was like, let's let this guy score.
Well, congratulations.
That was I mean, Indiana was on top. And they still had to go down and score and get a two-point conversion and go into overtime. And I got to tell you, that guy was down on the two-point conversion.
I really thought he was, too.
Michael Penix.
But, hey, you know, when does Indiana ever beat anyone?
They don't.
And I think that went into the call. I have to believe that went into the call.
Probably. Why not? Unless they were home.
I keep thinking one of these years, Indiana's going to actually come out like they have maybe a couple times. Was it John Ponce team in 67?
Well, Corso. Didn't Corso have a team in 78 that was okay? But then Mallory in the late 80s. But they never could beat Michigan or Ohio State.
Honestly, they have been so bad, so consistently bad for so long. I'm really kind of pumped about that. And then, of course, the Michigan game was exciting. And, I mean, it had two runs over 50 yards in the game.
Yeah.
A young quarterback. I immediately started saying, why wasn't this guy playing last year? Why? But of course, I mean, we'll find out eventually. Well, I'm sure that he's not perfect. But
the word on him last year was that he didn't really understand the playbook very well, which is interesting because that's one of the first things Herb Street said, is they were really impressed with how he knows the playbook and the plays. So
he seemed just rock solid to me. I'm excited to see him play. That's all I can say. And I was excited going.
Who cares?
I was excited going into game one because it's a new quarterback and he throws really well and he's got a really strong arm and offense is where it's at. Even Nick Saban said that this weekend, which, I mean, that's what it's all about. You got to have the offense. Anyway, the Lions. There's one reason that I'm not happy about the outcome, and I'll tell you that in a minute. Also, the biggest sports event, the best sports event of the weekend. But first, water. It's everywhere. It's in your home. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind the fridge, under the dishwasher. Keep an eye out for any water in your home, not just floods. Water is the enemy, and Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you if you call 877-JOB-DONE. That's 877-JOB-DONE, or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. If you've got mold left over by water, or if you've got mold, any, you know, those black splotches, anytime I see them, I just go, ah!
It's gross.
Just the grossest feeling, and you know what it can do to people, too. So, Emergency Response Services Incorporated, fire damage, storm damage, COVID. If there's some reason you feel you might have an issue, call 877-JOB-DONE for Emergency Response Services Incorporated. And then Royal Oak, I haven't seen the numbers today. People spent a lot of money this weekend.
You know what? I didn't think I got an email.
I don't think I did either.
Oh. Well, let's just assume that they're all spent.
I'll find out tomorrow at workout.
Hot.
I believe there are some more $20 stipends that are still eligible going up to the 28th or 29th.
I think so, yeah.
You guys know because you're getting the information, and thank you.
I get my downtown, what is it? Oh,
Your downtown dollars?
No. What's the In the Know newsletter?
Oh, I don't know. I can't
it's
remember.
Got a really clever name, of which I can't remember.
Yeah, it's the Downtown Development Association that put all this money out there and really kept business hopping for the last 3 months. It's been really just a stellar program. Royal Oak is so happy, as are the merchants, as they go into the fear is going into winter after a disastrous summer. And it turns out that it's not quite as scary as it was. So anyway, those of you who do still have the money, keep spending and be listening right here, because we'll be telling you about something else for downtown Royal Oak. And thanks to the Downtown Development Authority for choosing us to get their message out. Okay, so here's why I'm pissed about the Lions, because I think...
He's going to be around for a while?
Well, every time he wins... He extends whatever the goodwill is that Matt Patricia and Bob Quinn have. He had no business winning on Sunday. No business. They lost that game. And it blows my mind. Atlanta gave that game away. Not only did they score, a minute 12, no timeouts, first down on the 9-yard line. You can't lose that game, right?
No.
You can't lose. You let the clock go down to 3 seconds, 5 seconds, you kick the field goal, you go home.
Easily.
And we're all bitching out the Lions. Well, as it turns out, Matt Stafford's great work on the final drive and had a nice catch by Golladay. He had a good game. Great game. A couple great catches. You kind of forget that we gave that game away. Not to mention Atlanta went for it on 4th and 5 or they would have had a field goal.
You and I did not understand that. Call at all. It made no sense. Maybe 4th and 2, 4th and 3.
I was totally stunned. I can't think of a time I've ever seen a coach do something that stupid.
That weird.
Well, that situation was just really weird.
Sure, why can't you be positive about them? They're 3-3 now.
Well, Jacksonville, I thought they played well, and it looked like, hey, this looks like something's coming together here. Something. I don't know what.
Look at the rest of their schedule, though. There's very winnable games on there, and there's an extra playoff spot. So,
well, we'll see. Like I said, I'm excited if they're in the race because it means the games are more exciting. Sure. I just feel like they had no business winning this game against this terrible team. Terrible team.
They didn't, but they also should have beaten the Bears in week 1, but a drop ball. That's just the NFL.
Well, but the Bears, we weren't on the 9-yard line. We weren't on the 9-yard line with a minute 12 and no way to stop the clock and first down. This game, they had the game won. It was won. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There were also a couple roughing the passer calls I thought were kind of weird.
That's the first thing I told Drew when I got here. Is Stafford's best move so far has been drawing these ridiculous.
Look at the size of these guys.
Roughing the passer calls. That first one where he just got rocked. I feel it's like one of those things where, oh my God, I feel really bad for the quarterback. Here's a flag. In the very first quarter, it's like the second drive.
When he still had the ball.
Yeah.
Because when they called it, I swear, I thought, oh, I didn't even know he threw the ball.
Yeah.
Because the guy hit him hard, but he was standing there. He wasn't going down. He wasn't making any effort to go down. And he moved his head to the right. I just thought it was, if you're a Lions fan, of course you're happy. But the other one, I didn't even see the other one. But you said it was kind of chintzy.
Yeah, it's when he hit Amendola down the right side, and the guy took – he did take 2 steps and then pushed him in the back, and Stafford went, oh, head forward and fell down. And like, oh, wow, that looked bad from over here. Here's a flag for you. That was a good move.
We call him young Tom Brady.
Wonderful move.
Then you also have – they got that bonus 12 men on the field gift, which they immediately gave away. And then Prater missed the field goal, right?
Yes.
But neither team wanted to win this game. No. So I just can't. I
just felt like the Falcons were playing the role of the Lions today.
That was really weird. And then not only that, the final indignity, they score the touchdown. And, Stafford, you got to give him props for doing that, although he had them in position to lose the game.
Well, and Golladay's catch was great.
Golladay made a great catch. They over-celebrate or something on the extra point and have to kick a 47-yard extra point? They could have easily missed that.
Yep. Oh, we didn't even mention that Hockenson had the Jermaine Crowell move of not getting out of bounds.
That was abysmally stupid.
But in the end,
those are mental errors.
You couldn't possibly be any dumber.
I don't know.
You go and do something like this and totally redeem yourself.
I mean, stupid play, but he did. He got that final touchdown. Was a beautiful play by both Stafford and Hockenson.
It was a nice play. And if they turn the season around and they go, you know, 11-5,
yeah,
maybe that's the, you know, Atlanta screw up is what turned the season around. I just don't feel that.
Yeah, right.
And I know the schedule's weak, but we'll see.
In the end, they'll probably be 7-9.
I don't know. That's kind of how I feel. If they go 8-8, I'd feel it was a good year, really.
But at least they're in the NFC. So.
Operation. But the most exciting sports event of the weekend was the Tampa Bay Rays win over the Dodgers. I bet a lot of people missed this with all the great football on.
Drew, this was the best baseball game I've ever watched.
What? It was a great game, Brandon.
It was the best game I ever watched. It was back and forth. I mean, there's how many lead changes, and then it all comes down to the seventh inning, then the eighth inning, and then the ninth inning. And then there's two outs, Rays down by one. There's
you got Jansen,
two strikes on some guy named Brett Phillips, who nobody has ever heard of.
He had three RBIs the whole season. He had three hits and 20 at-bats in the regular season. And he's facing Kenley Jansen, throwing the ball a million miles an hour.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, I would like to hear it.
Jansen. That is into center field. Here comes Kiermaier. Phillips has tied the game. Arroz, Arena coming around. Throw home. Now he stumbles. But the ball gets away. Tampa Bay wins it. Game 4 hero.
Yeah, it sounds like there's 50,000 people there.
Yeah, I can barely hear Joe Buck. And he's doing the airplane running around.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, I was so happy for him. They interviewed him for 2 minutes after the game, and I've never seen a guy so happy in my life. He's a guy we never expect to be the hero.
Here's some more Brett Phillips stats. One run he's driven in since July 27th. That was a 1-2 count, which wasn't mentioned. Previously on 1-2 counts, he was 6 of 57 with 40 strikeouts. I mean, that's just incredible. That's a good story.
I looked at his stats and I was thinking, how is this guy on the roster? I mean, really?
Who is he?
And there's nothing much in his past that shows a lot of promise. But hey, you know, he slapped the ball in the second baseman's head. He got it done. And then the weird thing is Chris Taylor completely misplayed the ball in center field. He bobbled it and knocked it away. And I would think that guy in second would be standing on home plate by the time he threw it in.
Yeah.
But a Rosarena slipped on his way home from second base. So until he fumbled the ball in center field, he wasn't going. So he
eventually made one mistake, and the other team made two mistakes on that play. And the team that made the one mistake won.
He restarts. He's dead to rights, and they throw the ball past. The catcher missed the throw from Max Muncy.
I mean,
it was. It was up there with the Buckner game 6 in 86.
Oh, wow, okay.
The Cubs in Cleveland game 7 in 2016. There was another, they were listing them all, and I was going, I was reading with great interest. The 1947 World Series, Bill Bevan started for the Yankees and had a no-hitter with two outs in the ninth, but he'd walked 10 guys. He was crazy wild.
Really?
Who's that dude?
So the Yankees are leading the Cards 2-1 with two outs. He's one out away from a no-hitter, and Cookie Lavaghetto.
Ah, we all remember Cookie.
Cookie Lavaghetto.
That's the way he crumbles.
I think I might be mispronouncing that, but anyway.
Put that cookie down!
Oh, is it Cookie?
No!
It's, no. He doubles off the wall to bring in two runs, and they win the game. Unbelievable. First hit of the game is with two outs in the ninth.
That's crazy.
Crazy. And there were a couple other ones. Babe Ruth, I guess, ended a 3-2 World Series game. They walked him intentionally. Lou Gehrig was on deck. I forgot who the batter
Sweet
was,
Lou.
But whoever it was hit after Babe. And Babe tried to steal second base and got thrown out.
What?
And that was the end of the game.
The Great Bambino!
Crazy.
I didn't even know the game was on because I was so stuck in Michigan football world for the last
time. I was too. But I was recording it, fortunately, so I did get to go back, and it was just insane. It was like there have been a lot of games like that. I think I said this earlier when Tampa beat Houston 5-2. I said that was the best 5-2 game I've ever seen. There were so many people on base. And
well, now with three games left, or maybe two to three games left, I'll start watching.
Yeah, I mean, you might as well jump in.
Heavily invested. I still like baseball.
Been an exciting series.
And if the Rays win the next two, Drew's, you might be making some money because I made some bets for you.
Oh, did you?
I saw that I saw that you had some money in an account that was just stagnant.
It's crazy. Wow. So nice of you.
Funny how loose that security is. I maybe think she ought to be tightened up a little bit.
Hey, how about that Lions bet? Because the Lions were giving up 1 point, which seemed ridiculous. Because nobody ever wins by 1 point.
No, I liked your bet. You bet the money line.
Well, it would have pushed. It would have pushed if you took the spread, but the money line paid off, you know, a little bit more.
Well, a couple more stories, and I know this isn't a sports podcast. They're not really sports stories. I read this ridiculous story. Mark was here Friday for Charlie about Mookie Betts and how he's getting revenge against his Little League coach because his Little League coach cut him. He didn't want him. And I'm thinking, God, that just seems one of those ones where I'm like, I think I want a forensic accountant for this story. Is that real? And the reason I wanted a forensic accountant was because he was 5 years old. Now, do people really cut people when they're 5 years old?
No, that's not a thing that happens.
No, it's totally ridiculous. And I feel like the person who wrote the story should have just said, this is not real. It's not a story. It's not even close. If I make him 10 or 11, maybe it's a story. But, his mother was quoted in the story, too, which is like, wait, really? Little bitty kid with little legs, said Betts' mother, Diana Collins. Collins tried to pitch her son to local Little League teams. Isn't Little League 10 to 12-year-olds? Who takes a 5-year-old on a Little League team?
Isn't 5 T-ball?
Yeah, absolutely. She tried to pitch him, but she couldn't find any takers. And one coach famously rejected Mookie on the basis of his size or lack thereof, claiming he wanted to field a competitive roster with larger, more athletic players. 5-year-olds? Really? Somebody, we got to have larger, more competitive athletes than...
I like that coach's determination to win, though. Right? I mean, come on. He wants to win at all costs. I mean, that's what kids today need.
And then it gets even more dramatic. I'm not going to be able to play, a dejected Betts told his mother with tears streaming down his face. Little did 5-year-old Mookie know that Collins had a trick up her sleeve. Mom. Collins formed her own team, gathering a group of misfit players nobody else wanted.
Jeez, why don't you go cry about it?
Misfit players.
How many misfit 5-year-olds are just floating around?
Did she just watch the Bad News Bears or something?
Or Little Giants?
Or what about the bastards of the Kurt Russell? Battered bastards of something?
Baseball.
Right? Personally, I think Little Giants is the better reference here. But
it's a football movie, though, isn't it?
Thank you, Mark. She got a group of misfit players nobody else wanted.
I have actual audio of some of those misfit players. Here's one.
Oh. I did a poopy.
Yeah, that kid was always shitting his pants.
And then here's another one.
I know why I hate you, because I hate you.
Yeah, he was the ruffian of the group.
I love those drops.
Yeah, this kid too.
I don't accept your apology.
That kid had a great year, though.
And 33 steal.
He did. Collins formed her own team, gathering a group of misfit players nobody else wanted. They didn't do much winning. In fact, Mookie's team that year won just a single game. Fittingly, that lone victory came against the coach who heartlessly rejected him for being too small. What a beautiful story.
Bullshit.
I know. Why do I feel I'm constantly reading stories that are complete crap? I swear to God, I do. I just
don't believe that story.
I don't either.
For 5-year-olds?
No, it's not even close. Now, Mitch Albom, a couple times, have gone,
that's the problem. Who wants to be the asshole besides us that wants to challenge that story as being bullshit?
Well, his stories usually involve some charity or some nice act for some 9-year-old. And so, but there's I see a lot of this. I mean, crazy stuff. You know, the what's the woke Reddit thing? The over woke?
Oh, yeah.
Woke kids.
That is all BS. Just total BS. Well,
on Facebook Live, Philip, who I think might have sent us that link, he said this story belongs in Reddit that happened. You know, the other ones were fake stories.
Oh, I haven't seen that either. I got to check that out.
He sent some stories over. They're really funny. They're all bullshit.
Well, there's one more story, and this...
They're all fake news.
This, somebody's going to complain.
What story?
That I'm doing another sports story. It's really not a sports story, but I'll explain in a second. It appears the whole world has officially gone crazy, and I can't stop talking about it, not to mention our friends at Zopford and Holly. They've been crazy since back in the day when being crazy actually meant something. Anthony Gabara and the hottest sales staff in Oakland County want to let the baby have his bottle or her bottle. So here are a few of Zopford's craziest deals of the year. Lease a new loaded 2020 Ford Edge SEL all-wheel drive as low as $177 a month. Or get to Zot Ford and lease the SUV everyone's talking about. The new 2020 Ford Explorer XLT four-wheel drive as low as $212 a month. You're insane! I'm not sure he's being honest in this copy, because isn't the vehicle everyone's talking about the Ford Bronco?
A lot of people are talking about that, but the Explorer is nice, too. Okay. So I have an Explorer spread out.
That's nuts.
To get a forensic accountant on that. Finally, at least the toughest truck on the road, a new 2020 Ford F-150 Supercrew XLT 4x4, as low as $199 a month.
No way.
And then, of course, the Bronco Sport will be in stock for immediate delivery any day now. And Mark may be tooling around in that Ford Bronco. When are you getting your Ford Bronco to tool around in?
The one for me to drive or the one for me to buy?
I don't know. Either one.
Because buying, I don't know. You have to put a reservation down.
Wow.
Yeah. So the reservation's been placed, but he's going to get some in for people that are getting serviced and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, give Anthony a call or get details at dealsinthed.com. And then Hall Financial, of course, would love to refinance your home and save you money, like Brandon saved money.
Heck yeah, I did.
Like so many people have saved money. Low rates mean value. If you're on the market for that new home, remember, Hall Financial Service is the fastest in the business. Get your mortgage in half the time of their competitors. And they sponsor the Hall Financial Hotline, of course. Virtual appraisals can be done without someone setting foot inside your home. So call 248-308-5000 or go to davidhallmortgage.com/DrewandMike. You can also click the link on our website. Fill out the online form, and they get back to you so fast, because they are fast, 19 days on the average, which saves you money. You're in sooner with your better rate. I mean, that could be a couple hundred bucks right there. NMLS number 1467435, an equal housing lender, is Hall Financial. Anybody for the Hall Financial Hotline, by the way?
I was thinking maybe we could call our best friend in Jamaica. Remember Shane? We called Shane because he was a big fan of Adele.
Oh, yeah.
Adele,
yeah.
And Adele hosted the
SNL.
SNL. Did you see it?
God have mercy.
I did. And you know what's weird?
How do you think she looked, first of all? I mean, she
looks great.
Does she look a little bit like Kate Winslet?
Oh, yeah, she might.
I thought she did when she did her monologue.
You know, she's one of those people, I can't explain this, but I feel like she maybe isn't meant to be super skinny. Because I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I'm used to seeing her heavy, like Oprah. When Oprah, remember, she wheeled out the fat in that. It was a wagon.
I do remember that
wagon. Yeah. And Oprah looked bizarre. Her head looked way too big for her body. And I just was like, God, I hope she gets fat again. I just think she looks weird.
Or like Carney Wilson.
Oh yeah,
it's just not meant to be.
No, it wasn't meant to be, and her body knew it. She knew she was hungrier than she felt, she made up for it.
It's the same thing Julie said.
About
it's Adele. She's not supposed to be skinny.
I'm going to just throw the sizzling Rebel Wilson in this category, too. And more sizzling pictures over the
Rebel
weekend.
Rebel Wilson's just not supposed to be.
She's not supposed to be sizzling.
She's not funny either.
Ooh, I know.
Here they are, yeah. I didn't see these new pictures of her. I'm proud of Rebel. I'm waiting for expansion in Hollywood.
Share them with us.
She's not sizzling. She won't even show her stomach. And not that I blame her. I mean,
seriously,
I don't care. Just stop calling her sizzling. And by the way, she said she was 6 pounds away from her goal, which was 165.
She's all yours. She's all yours.
I'm not asking for her. Oh, Brandon, yeah.
Brandon.
She's all yours. And this 29-year-old boyfriend, by the way, who's the Bush.
Yeah, he's a billionaire.
Bush heir.
Must be nice. Billionaire.
What is this 29-year-old doing with Rebel Wilson, who's 40? He thinks he's hot, by the way.
Look at that picture. They're so in love.
Y'all are jealous.
The age difference is not a big deal, but I just have this feeling that he wants attention, and he gets it by being Rebel. Maybe he's a great guy.
Was Saturday Night Live good? I missed it.
It was
It was okay.
Some bits were good. Some were, I don't know. I just thought that one, did you see the Trump ad?
Political.
I thought that was really funny.
It was kind of funny. It was a Trump ad where people are blatantly saying, you know, don't vote for Trump. You got to vote for. I mean, it was an anti-Trump ad. And then in the middle, somebody said, but gee, I'm going to miss talking about him all the time. And one girl says, my entire personality is about hating Donald Trump, which I laughed out loud when I heard that, because there are people who are actually like that.
Yeah.
It's all they talk about. They're just waiting for the next thing to be outraged about.
I thought that was really funny.
And they made a good point. I mean, when it comes to the news and when it comes to night shows, you know, those late night shows. Yeah. Everything is Trump, 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 Trump. I mean, it's the main comedic factor. It's also the main news factor when it comes to all these shows. So what are they going to do if he's, you know, voted out?
Well,
they'll make fun of Rebel Wilson, I guess.
They're not going to make – I mean, they won't go for Biden like that because I don't think Biden's going to be tweeting. You know what I mean? He's not going to be –
Yeah, he'll still mess up, though.
He won't give them nearly as much material. No. They will miss Trump. And the cable news outlets, you know, CNN and Fox, they're going to miss him like crazy.
Yeah.
And MSNBC?
Yeah. But like that fake ad pointed out, he'll still be around.
Oh, I think so, too. I really believe he was on Saturday night, and he was just talking to a group in maybe Minnesota, and he was having a ball. He was so loosey-goosey. There was no scripted, discussion about issues. He was just winging it. And he was having a blast. He's got to be in front of a crowd, whether it's on
that's
TV
where he's
or
good. He had this one today.
Because I know that life in Ohio is not complete without the glory of Ohio State football and other football.
Well, Brandon, Drew and I were talking off the air about what if he loses, what does he do? You know, there's been a lot of talk about him hosting a talk show.
I can totally see that.
Do you see him wanting to host 5 days a week?
Yeah, well, he loves working. I mean, there's no stopping this guy.
No, that's true.
He cannot be stopped.
I just figured he would be like the host of the show and sometimes Junior would fill in or somebody else.
Well, I could see that happening.
Or once a week or twice a week. I don't know.
Was it Brandon Junior posed in front of a 2024 sign? Was that what you sent?
Yes. Yeah. Which Junior, is crazy to me.
No, he's not running in 2024. Even if he wants to, he's not running in 20. I do not want Junior on the ballot. I don't want another Trump.
I get used to it. He will be.
No. I think you might be right. He might try to run, but I don't think he's got any juice. I really don't. Trump is the one and only.
Nice picture.
I don't know. You're right. He's not like his dad.
He's not.
Where is this at? Someone on Facebook Live. Steve said on Facebook Live, you see the news on SNL, which I thought this was really interesting, where they pointed out that every president we've had, when they are still younger than both of them. That's
incredible.
Nuts.
Like, it is incredible.
Clinton's still younger, right?
Yes. And
Bush is still
George
younger.
Bush is younger.
That's so weird.
Not Carter.
This is the best. Yeah, not Carter.
Clinton was elected in 92, and he's younger than both candidates.
Yeah.
That is bizarre. And
that's really wild.
I got to tell you, I was watching a debate on Thursday, because we haven't been on since Thursday evening when we recorded, and I couldn't wait for it to be over. I'm like, oh God, just please be over. I was just, I don't want to say triggered. I hate that word. But I was just so tired of it. And I can't imagine why two guys that age want to do this and subject themselves to this kind of pace. And, Biden, I thought, held up pretty well. He did look at his watch.
Yeah.
Which is the first time that's happened since George Bush looked at his watch in the 92 debates.
That was a big problem for him.
It was. Not Gerald Ford. I guess it was just Bush did it. And there were 15 minutes left. And I didn't think Biden did anything that would all. Well, if this were a normal election, Biden's comments about the oil industry would be.
Oh, that was that was a big blunder.
That'd be a flub. That'd be a big flub.
He'll probably lose Pennsylvania because of it.
I don't know. I don't know if the people who don't want Trump, if there's anything that can change their mind. I really don't think.
Well, the problem is, isn't it weird having a debate?
It could help them in Texas and in Pennsylvania.
Is it weird having a debate when, 45 million votes have already been cast?
Yes, it is. 56 million now, I think. Isn't it 50?
Oh, is it that many?
Yeah, I thought I heard that today.
That's crazy.
I know. It's absolutely insane, and it just makes the last 2 weeks, the last 10 days, every successive day is less important in terms of what happens. So, I mean,
these great new pictures coming out from Hunter Biden aren't going to mean anything.
Oh, did someone send those to you, too?
Oh, boy.
Well, I mean, they're out there. They're on the website Steve Bannon started in China, but they're out there. I mean, why wouldn't they be real?
Now, why would he start?
Well, they're definitely real.
When you say a website in China,
yeah.
Why are they on a website in China?
Well,
isn't a website anywhere?
Who's going to post them? I guess he could have just started his own SteveBannon.com and put him up there.
Why post him on a China? I mean, is this a Chinese company's
because
website?
Because the publication that initially posts them is going to get in trouble. We've seen this with the Hulk Hogan sex tape. So there's not going to be a publication that says, I'm going to be the very first American one to post it.
Well, okay,
instead,
to that point, I wouldn't even be an American one.
If it is his laptop with the same, which he gave up. By not picking up his laptop in a certain amount of time, he signed a thing, and it says, you know, if you don't make arrangements to pick this up within, I forget, it's like 90 days, that it becomes, there's a lien placed, it becomes our property, and you
does that mean they
up.
Get Does that mean they get the copyright to the photos?
I don't know.
Which is really what it comes down to.
Not that it matters, but, let me ask you this. Did you think the pictures were him?
Absolutely. Yeah. They're absolutely.
Yeah, I did.
See, I can never say absolutely. Why do you say absolutely?
Well, I think they are.
I'll tell you why. Too much to fake.
I'll tell you why as well. Because if these were Photoshop, you'd have so many people that would be able to go into Photoshop and find layers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's not. These are real pictures. Hunter Biden does indeed have a massive dong.
Yeah, he's got a pretty big dong.
There's one picture where he even has a tape measure, and it's 9 inches. And then he's got pictures where he's got M&Ms hanging on it. And then there's pictures where he's got a remote control leaning on it. And then if you look at the women that are in these photos.
Who takes a picture of their dick with a
crackhead?
I mean, really? What the fuck?
All the chicks in those pictures are different, too. There's different body shades. There's different tattoos. I mean, he was nailing and taking a lot of photos.
Wow. I tell you that this whole story is just, I mean, looking at that guy's life and setting it aside from everything else, it's just so strange to me. Somebody was trying to dig up stuff on his lobbying days and trying to connect it to legislation, which Joe Biden voted on. And it's like, I don't even care about that. I was looking at the lobbying jobs, which paid him a ton of money. A fucking lobbyist. I mean, the worst human beings on the planet are lobbyists, in my opinion. I just hate that.
Oh, no,
I hate it.
Drew, I look at this, honestly, the way I look at it is, what is Joe Biden's business? Joe Biden's business is politics. So, of course, he is going to use, you know, there's going to be nepotism where he helps his son get, the same way that you see any rich guy, you know, get his son into his own company or, you know, use his influence. The same way, you know, Donald Trump just so happens to have his own company where all of his kids work.
All right. Enough pictures of his dick, please.
What are you talking about? Look at that.
Who's Brandon, are you doing that?
No.
He's showing all these Hunter Biden pictures, and those are, he's Hunter.
My complaint is that why is it all pixelated?
Why is it pixelated?
I don't know, but you know, there's location and date tags to this entire, I mean, Chateau Marmont. Hollywood, USA.
Chateau Marmont. That's one of the most famous hotels out there.
Well, wouldn't it be pretty easy to figure out if he was there on that
day? Of course. Yeah. Well, you know, honestly, all of this is so easy to figure out. Joe Biden just needs to say, Hunter, did you drop your laptop off at this place? And Hunter says yes or no. And it's either over or it's not over. I mean, is it really that simple?
Well,
is this your laptop?
Well, I mean, does that... Yeah, sure, but that doesn't mean that these pictures came from that laptop. I tend to believe that they did, but yeah, he's not going to say
that. But I mean,
that.
In terms of important information, if indeed it's his own laptop.
People are going to believe what they want.
The energy over there.
Well, people can believe whatever they say, but he wouldn't say it's his laptop if it wasn't his laptop. Why would he say that? And why would he not say it's not his laptop?
He loved getting foot jobs, by the way.
Oh, my God.
I'm a rich American with a big wiener.
Look at that.
I'm starting to get
There's the Carlos Danger picture.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Who's Hallie Biden?
I didn't know what that was.
Who's Hallie Biden?
So he goes out and buys extra small underwear so he can take pictures like that?
Hallie Biden is Beau Biden's wife.
Good God.
That is allegedly from a Facebook or a FaceTime with her.
He's... See, so that's corner. Nice that he's banging his sister-in-law. Oh, wait. Oh, she's driving.
Stupid.
Oh, man.
There's one where he's smoking crack and driving at the same time.
Hey, that's Bo Biden's wife, right?
He loves partying.
Yeah, that's Bo Biden.
Oh, my God.
Here's the sex tape foot job video. Biden's just hanging out there smoking something while this girl's playing with his dong with her feet.
That's a fetish.
That's a terribly done pixelation, by the way. Just look at the head. Boop, boop. Keeps popping up.
I can't believe.
Sorry, Crystal.
Hallie Biden, wrong. I mean, you really have to wonder about, she is sisters-in-law with Hunter Biden's wife.
Yeah.
Who divorced him because she said he spent all their money on prostitutes, strip clubs. I mean, it was the most unflattering portrayal in terms of why she wanted to be divorced. And she also said that he left the family in a screwed position many times in terms of paying their mortgage and being behind on their bills while he went out and just had a ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why would his sister-in-law want to fuck him?
Where's Hunter?
I realized that Bo died, and so they were partners in grief.
Yeah, we all
and all that stuff. But you would think that the other sister-in-law would have probably made her pretty aware of how horrific the marriage was in her eyes. But maybe she just saw his dong, and that was that.
Yeah, maybe that was the picture that trapped her.
That's something else, gotta say. Anyway, yeah, back to the final story. That's not a sports story because it's not a sports podcast. But it's not a sports story anyway. It's a larger story than that. And that is, and I really wondered about this, the hot mic comments of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, where they are bitching about the flyover and how much it costs.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe Buck makes a joke about how, you know, in a Biden Kamala Harris ticket, this kind of thing won't happen. And I really believe he's kidding.
It was a Kamala Biden ticket.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover.
That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now.
What does that even mean?
And Troy Aikman.
Like we've had flyovers for a long time.
Troy Aikman more than bent over backwards to tell us all how he is the most patriotic guy ever. And he loves flyovers and he loves the military.
Sounds like it.
And
who doesn't like flyovers? They're awesome.
No, I know. But the point is, this was not a hot mic. This was something that was recorded. Joe Buck thinks it was earlier in the day.
Yeah.
And somebody, just to be an asshole, clipped it out and put it out there. And it's somebody that works with him.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a coworker.
What the? I mean, honest to God, and to think that someone would do this, and first of all, the fact that they have no fear of being fired is beyond stupid. But second of all, what? I mean, we've reached this point now where anyone just feels it's okay to record anything and just put it out there. If you want to fuck somebody over, that, you know, I'm just going to record everything they do, or I'm going to record this, or I'm going to record that. I'm going to put it out there. And there seems to be nothing anyone can do about it.
No. Once it's out there, it's out there.
They worked together and they played together.
You know, when I was trying to remember when Linda Tripp recorded Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah.
How long did it take before we heard that? It wasn't like the next day, was it?
I didn't think so.
I mean, I thought there was some...
Well, no, because a lot of that was going around before Drudge put out the blue dress stuff.
Well, I remember hearing what she said, but I don't remember hearing the tapes until much later. And although it was pretty established that the transcripts were real, but that was a long time ago. And at the time, everyone hated Linda Tripp. What a scumbag friend. What a piece of shit. Who records their girl? I mean, and honestly, I can't disagree with people for feeling that way.
So it looks like C-SPAN put them up November 18th, 1998. You know, a lot of that broke in January.
That is long after
the
recording. Because January, I think it was January 4th is when Clinton said, I did not have sex with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I just need to get back to doing the work of the American people.
Hey!
And that loud applause followed. How ridiculous. I remember thinking at that time, by the way, when he said that I don't know if he could say it that strongly if he really had something with Monica Lewinsky. I mean, he kind of fooled me.
Yeah.
Because it just seemed like, well, I guess you don't know that we're going to know. I mean, the blue dress.
There's an old saying in Tennessee. I know it's in Texas, probably in Tennessee, that says, fool me once, shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
Oh, that's great. Look at this video, man. So how times have changed. Here's the release of the videotapes. You can see it over there, I think. So they're in the box.
Like, okay.
Look at these dudes, just these reporters just running, rip them open.
Is that 92 or 2000?
98.
Or 98, yeah.
Yeah, November 17th, 98.
Are we on Facebook, by the way?
Oh, yeah, we've been off.
We fooled around. Oh.
Oh.
I don't know. I think if you get to orgasm, that's having sex.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
It's not having
sex is having intercourse.
Anyway, I mean, we had a very clear feeling about that. And remember the SNL skits about Linda Tripp with John Goodman playing Linda? I mean, it was so everyone just turned on her. And Monica Lewinsky was mostly slut-shamed, I would say. I mean, she was trashed, too.
I feel bad for her, yeah.
Just trashed. I mean, beyond trashed.
My favorite comment from that time was from Jill Sobule. Is that her name? Do you remember?
Oh, yeah,
Jill
the singer?
Yeah, is it What If God Made...
One of
what
them?
Is that Jill Sobule? No, she's Kissed a Girl. Who did What If God Was One of Us?
Amy Grant?
It wasn't Amy Grant.
No,
it was, like
it
a
was
wonder.
Joan Osborne.
Joan Osborne,
yeah.
She had a quote in the Washington Post that said, "I don't believe it happened because when you have filet mignon at home in Hillary Clinton, why would you go for hamburger?"
Oh, come on. Really? She really said that?
I'm paraphrasing, but yeah, she compared Hillary to being filet mignon. I'm like, what are you talking about? Gross.
Oh, my God. Well, I will say this. I was surprised that a chunky intern would be his choice. And not only that, when you heard her talk, it was like, how could he stand this?
Because she was there.
Yeah.
And she had big tits, because that's how we first started doing.
She wasn't that bad for a guy that age. Plus, right now,
she was willing as hell, too.
I think she looks better now than she has ever looked before.
I totally agree. I totally agree.
Monica Lewinsky right now, I'm serious, she's hot.
I always thought she was kind of attractive, but he is the president.
And she's kind of funny and smart now.
She's very self-deprecating on the whole situation, too, now.
Remember the Miss Arkansas Clinton was with?
Yes.
She was smoking. Smoking hot.
Gray. I can't remember.
Elizabeth Grayson.
Ward. Elizabeth Ward Grayson.
That's right. Elizabeth Ward Grayson. And then in her day, Jennifer Flowers was pretty hot. Mm. I mean, in her day.
Paula Jones, meh.
Actually, Jennifer Flowers, when she came in, I thought she was pretty cute. I mean, she's an older
woman. I wasn't there then.
She's an older woman.
I don't remember that.
I think it was 95. Hmm. And she was, we had a good time with her. She was really, I thought she was pretty cool.
Was Jennifer Flowers the one that came to the debate in 2016?
No, I don't think so.
It was Juanita Broderick.
Yeah. And three other women. I think the common bond was that they'd all been assaulted by Clinton.
Yeah.
But Jennifer Flowers was consensual, 100%. So anyway, on the bookends of this, we have Linda Tripp recording Monica Lewinsky in 1997, I guess it would have been, and absolute anger, outrage, you know, what a lousy friend. I mean, the whole thing directed at Linda Tripp. I mean, the whole country turned on her.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have, on the other bookend, most recently, the audio of Joe Buck and Troy Aikman saying the flyover is a waste of money. We also have the Hunter Biden nude pics. We have the Trump recorded by Omarosa. Mm-hmm. Oh, remember that?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that was. I remember when that came out. I was like, wait a second. You can just record the president and put it out there, and it's no big deal. I mean, I know I've said this before, and I felt the same way about Michael Cohen recording him. Your lawyer can record you, and 2 days later it can be on TV. It just seems so crazy to me. And then Melania Trump gets recorded by her friend, who used to work for her.
We totally skipped Don Sterling, too.
Oh, yeah, Don Sterling.
His
right arm
handman recorded him.
And I don't think anyone felt sympathy for Donald Sterling because of what he said.
His silly little rabbit turned on him.
Was anybody like, hey, you can't do that? Or was it just that, get him out of here?
Nowadays, it's the ends justify the means.
I'm Mr. Sterling, everything. I'm his confidant, his best friend.
His silly rabbit. His right arm man.
I'm Mr. Sterling's right hand arm man.
I love it.
We also have the niece of Donald Trump recording his sister.
Sure.
I mean, it just gets so shitty. And she, honestly, she didn't say anything. That, well, she said he might have cheated on his SATs. I guess that was pretty shitty. So I guess it's just okay to record anyone, anywhere without their knowledge.
Apparently.
I mean,
I think because it's, I honestly believe people are forgiving because, or don't have a problem with it because everybody can record anything at any time because they have that device in their hand. Video.
So it's on the person audio. Being recorded to know that,
to be a,
to
be,
they shouldn't say something.
Act a certain way, I guess. I think people just don't have that sympathy because, yeah, everybody's recorded all the time. I'm not saying it's right. I just think that's where the mentality
but what
is.
What happened to privacy and the assumption of privacy in certain instances?
That's why they want to – some people want to change that law of, you know, a one-party state. There's actually a lawsuit going on in Michigan right now to clarify what does that mean, who is a one-party – because right now in Michigan, just one group has to know that it's being recorded.
So well, I don't even understand that law. I would think just common decency says anyone being recorded should be told they're recorded. And we've heard that on recorded lines forever, that this is a recorded line and mm-hmm. you know, so on and so forth. And someone could be monitoring. But then
just because something is legally possible doesn't mean it's right.
I've heard of many workplaces where phone calls are recorded. Yeah, and people have an expectation that can happen.
How about workplaces where your you know, all your computer usage is monitored?
Yeah, and, you know, but when it comes to like medical records, for example, people are fanatical about their privacy, mm-hmm. and you know, swallowing Bill Gates' chips and things like that, and people go crazy about.
You know,
that.
In the UK, you can buy a negative COVID test, one that's already deemed negative.
Oh, to call your own?
If you want to go fly? I'm not joking. That was a story. Wow. This weekend.
I guess it's not
connected to your name. I guess so.
I guess the barn door's been open too long, and this is never going to change, and no one seems able to have any recourse.
Basically, it's on the individual just to act better.
Well, Joe Buck wants to find this guy, right?
Yeah, he's going to beat the shit out of him.
He does. I mean, I found out about this through I didn't know that Joe Buck had a podcast, but Joe Buck does have one. It's called Daddy Issues with Buck and Oliver Hudson.
And he's fucking pissed, and I don't blame him one bit. And I think it's absolute insanity. He also feels that it's completely taken out of context because he said there's a running joke in that conversation, and I forgot what it is, but it's one of the things that sounds a little stilted. And so this is the problem with leaked audio, is there is no context whatsoever. You don't know, you know, maybe it's a full conversation, 30 minutes in the case of Linda Tripp, or a full phone call with Omarosa, but it's, I don't know, I'm surprised this doesn't bother more people. And I'm sure when it happens to somebody, they'll be very bothered. But
here's a clip of Buck talking about it on his podcast.
That is a disgusting act.
Oh, never mind. That was when Randy Moss pretended to moon the crowd.
Joe Buck's come a long way since then.
No, I know. I like Joe Buck when he's not calling football.
I generally like him. I still
boring in football.
I don't think he's that good. I mean, I think he does the job. He does it well.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it wasn't for Jack Buck.
That's true. But
I mean,
like I said, like we were talking about before, nepotism exists everywhere.
He's capitalizing.
Yeah.
There's a lot of father and son businesses.
Oh, yeah. Well, there always have been.
A lot of people in GM got in there because, hey, family members. Same thing with Ford. Chrysler.
A lot of people get into college for the same reason. In fact, I was reading about Steve Bing today. Oh, I read a long article about him. God, what a weird story.
You run a business with your son. You couldn't even find another grown man to go into business with.
Steve Bing is just the craziest story. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, he's the guy who leaped to his death from the 27th floor of the, I think it's the...
this condo building?
1000 building in Los Angeles. It's a famous building because it's so nice. And he inherited $600 million when he was a freshman in college. And, of course, he didn't last in college long after that because he said, I'm going to be the Howard Hughes of the 21st century.
See ya.
Well, the 20th century because it was 19.
He was going to jar urine?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe that was part of it. I don't know.
Spruce Goose.
He also...
Let his fingernails grow.
I love the Spruce Goose.
Great, yeah.
He also wanted to... have his pick of the women, which was $600 million, it turns out, makes it pretty easy because I'm not kidding you. I'm reading this long story about the final days and the life of Stephen Bing this morning. And they kept referring to him as like he's some kind of babe magnet. Isn't he weird looking?
I think he's weird looking, yeah.
No, they were acting like he's hot. And I'm going, no, he's not hot. No. Just because he has $600 million, don't act like he's hot. He's not hot. They were going, oh, he's 6'4", handsome, six strapping, 6'4". And
he looks like Julian Assange and Bill Clinton made a baby or something.
Oh, my God. What a great comparison. Yes.
Wow, that's a... Yeah, Julian Assange, maybe? I don't know. I think he's less attractive than either one of them.
Yeah, there's a little Clinton in there, too.
I'll tell you one thing, though. Steve Bing makes beautiful male children.
Very pretty.
Yeah, that is...
Damien Hurley is a dime.
He makes extremely beautiful, but very effeminate as well. Now, I'm not saying that's bad or anything. The child does look very effeminate, though.
Is he transitioning? Isn't
good? Is he? I don't know, and if he is, I'm happy for him.
Last time I said that he made a very beautiful son, someone's like, he's transitioning. I'm like, how was I supposed to know who the fuck
Oh, yeah. Hold on, I'll check.
I think he's gender fluid. It doesn't matter. He's still very beautiful.
Elizabeth Hurley is the mother, and she, of course, was extremely
Who else is Bing nailed, though?
Let's go to Who's Dated Who.
I got
to
tell you, I'm sure Who's Dated Who has a bunch of them, but they're all ultra super duper hot, and I mean, mostly models. Mm-hmm. And some actresses.
Oh, my God.
And always much, much, much younger.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, it's about the money. And the amazing thing is he blew $600 million.
Yeah, you
he
know
basically
how?
Bought himself all the pussy, all the clout in Hollywood, everything could, he paid for all of it. He never did any of it on his own and he never made any money on anything.
No, mainly because he co-wrote the screenplay and financed Kangaroo Jack.
Yes, he did.
Do you remember that movie, Kangaroo
I do.
Jack?
You know, it's so funny that you remember that because...
I remember it because Conan O'Brien always does Kangaroo Jack.
Hey, it's got Jerry O'Connell in it. Come on.
That movie was so terrible. And here's the story behind it. And it took me a long time to read all this morning, so I'm so glad that you remember that.
I cannot wait to hear.
Because now I feel like I actually did this for some reason. Okay, in 2000, Steve Bing has been banging around Hollywood for about 16, 17, yeah, literally, for about 16 or 17 years. Elizabeth Hurley is, I think, pregnant with his baby, and he put out a statement and said, we're in an exclusive arrangement, and she's decided she wants to be a single mother, so what the fuck? Because she had revealed on the Today Show that she was pregnant, and she said, and Steve Bing is the father. And he was angry. He was livid about that. How dare she? Now, he had been carrying on an affair with an Armani model, and I guess when she said that, I think he thought, she's jeopardizing my pussy! The other pussy he was getting?
You are the father!
So then he put out a statement that they were in a non-exclusive relationship, and that she's decided she wants to be a single mother, and more power to her.
So what's wrong with that? Everything sounds great.
And, of course, she was livid because she said there was nothing non-exclusive about their relationship. They were absolutely exclusive. So anyway, he told her he wanted to have an abortion. She said no, and I think he told her, get the fuck out of here. And he was like, what's his name? The old guy that told the...
Oh, go back to your room? He told TJ Lane to go back to your room?
Close. No, I was thinking about the guy that ran Hollywood, the multi-billionaire who stiffed his last girlfriend. What's his name?
God, I'm drawing a total
blank. The redhead.
Your money's on the dresser, baby. I'm done with you.
The redhead.
Ron Howard?
No, the old red, 97 years old, still banging
Sumner
away.
Sumner Redstone. I'm thinking like old Hollywood when you said that.
Well, he's old Hollywood, kind of, sort of.
Yeah.
He found out that she was 33 when he met her. She was 38 when they broke up. He was 92. He found out she was banging this 40-year-old guy and said, get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
Nice.
Right now. And there was not a trace of her within 24 hours. I love that story.
Not a trace.
Not a trace. Not a trace. So Bing, and it was described as being strange. He approaches
Bing
all of these studios in 2000 to get a multi-picture deal. And it's sort of like, well, why would it be a multi-picture deal with Steve Bing? Well, he's with a guy named Scott Rosenberg, who was hot, because he had written Con Air, Brandon's favorite movie.
Oh,
hell
wow.
Yeah.
So
hell yeah.
He was sort of on fire, and the feeling was, why does Rosenberg need a writing partner? I mean, he just did Con Air. Why is he running around with Steve Bing putting this? And apparently Steve Bing was willing to finance anything Rosenberg wanted to do, or, you know, on the side, or just as, you know, to push something forward. So he accepted the partnership and, in fact, ended up in they called it a bidding war. And he ended up with an 8-picture deal.
What?
Yeah. Bing and Rosenberg.
Wow.
And
it shows what money can do, right?
This is with Warner Brothers. And, of course, Rosenberg ends up writing a couple movies,
yeah.
I guess, that did okay. Steve Bing's big contribution was Kangaroo Jack. And he had written that at Stanford before he dropped out. And that was his big claim to fame was, oh, I sold a screenplay while I was in college. But the thing was, you know, he already was in the world of all these wealthy, connected people. He didn't really sell a screenplay. Somebody was kind enough to put something, give him something for it. And no one ever optioned it until he hooks up with Steve Rosenberg, who's just done Con Air. And they say, oh, yeah, we want you guys. Hey, picture deal. And I think they got $1.4 million.
And that's money well spent.
It really doesn't seem like that much
money
for an 8-picture deal.
Yeah.
Supposedly some hot young writers.
Still.
Anyway, Kangaroo Jack was savaged. I mean, savaged by critics. In fact, I bet it's gotten abysmally low Rotten Tomatoes.
I'm pulling up, you want to guess right now?
Okay,
I got it.
Rotten Tomatoes.
I got it.
I'm going to say that it has, the critics are going to hate it because they're going to hate him. I'm going to say like a 6 or 7.
8.
Really? Yes. No way.
That's incredible. You
want to guess the audience can't hate it as much, so I'll say the audience is 25.
29.
29,
wow.
Really?
That's
pretty good.
That's incredible.
He was involved in some other movies that were almost equally disastrous.
Oh, do share.
He spent $63 million making Get Carter.
Get Carter. Oh, the remake
Stallone.
To Get Shorty?
It's a Stallone movie. Oh. I wasn't sure what it was exactly, but
I don't know that one.
He put up $63 million and lost his ass.
Get Carter.
Yeah. I don't even remember it, honestly. I don't think I've ever even looked at it, had it go by on my choices, you know, on one of the streaming services.
Well, now that you said it.
You want to guess it's Rotten Tomatoes?
Okay. I know it's going to be terrible because it also was savage. It was Stallone when he was past his prime.
With Michael Caine.
Michael Caine and Rachel Lee Cook and Mickey Rourke.
They described it as being really, really, really bad. And he lost, I think, most of the $63 million. So I'm going to say the audience gives it I'll say a 30.
28.
And the critics will be harsher.
Yeah, always.
I'd say 15.
11.
11? Really?
That's incredible. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
$63.5 million budget, $19 million at the box.
Oh. I mean, I'm sorry he died.
The story, okay, I might as well just go ahead and get into it since we're here.
Well, I mean, real quick, I just want to sum up Steve Bing in the best way possible, and that is his achievements on whosdatedwho.com.
This is important. This is absolutely essential.
Totally had sex with. So he started off his Hollywood streak with Uma Thurman.
Nice.
Oh my God.
It doesn't say what year, does it? That must have
it
been
does
early,
not say
though,
what
but
year.
Still, that's well done.
It's incredible.
He then moved on to Janice Dickinson and.
Come on. Who has
In her day. In her day. It's a long time ago.
That was in the late 80s. Tracy Richman.
Mm.
I'm not sure who she is, but she's very pretty. Sharon Stone in 91.
Yeah, Sharon fucking Stone. Sharon Stone!
In 91, too.
That's incredible. Ooh.
Then he jumps over to Denise D. Lewis in 94, who's very pretty. Then over to Farrah Fawcett in 1997.
Nice. Oh, man. Farrah Fawcett.
97.
Lisa Bonder in 98.
Lisa Bonder.
She's a professional tennis player who was married to Kirk Kerkorian.
Oh, and that's a wild story.
Steve Bing knocked her up.
Yeah.
And Kerkorian was told, hey, you're the father because we're married and everything. Kerkorian's like, no, because I can't get you pregnant. I'm 87. And though I can still screw, he got a vasectomy.
Is Kerkorian dead? He's dead, right?
It's a good question. We've talked about this before, and I don't think we could remember if he was or wasn't. He's got to be dead.
Isn't he fascinating, though?
He is. Yeah, totally fascinating. And Kerkorian was so adamant that it wasn't him, he had private investigators chase Steve Bing around until they got some dental floss of Steve Bing's. And
Bing
was determined to be the father through DNA.
Ah, Kekorian is dead. 2015. Died at 98.
Good God.
Wow.
Both of Bing's... Bing had two children, one with Elizabeth Hurley and one with Lisa Bonder. Both he spent gobs of money fighting paternity, eventually losing. And in Elizabeth Hurley's case, she never asked him for a dime. She said, you know, fuck you. Yeah. You don't care. And I don't want your stupid money. And I think Lisa Bonder did get money. But he never met either child until, I think, the last year of his life. Incredible.
And then he took his life on Father's Day, so that's telling. But he did move from Lisa Bonder onto Elizabeth Hurley in 2000 and 2001, where, as we discussed, had that child, Damien. And then when she was trying to screw everything up with that whole paternity suit, he moved away from that and got with Naomi Campbell, who's pretty.
And then over to some diversity in his choices.
She'd be a pain in the ass.
I know, she'd be huge.
From Brooke Burns to Nicole Kidman.
Brooke Burns is a knockout, by the way. Not Brooke Burke.
Burns.
I know. She is a knockout. She might be the hottest of all these.
I think so, yeah.
Who after Brooke Burns? I'm so stuck on that.
Pardon me?
Who after Brooke Burns?
Nicole Kidman.
What?
Wow.
Yep.
What?
Followed by Sheryl Crow, and then Who's Dated Who wraps it all up with Liv Tyler.
Wow.
Oh, my God. And he's... Wow. I'm sorry. Well, somebody, can we have some females just Google Steve Bing, look at him, and will you please email me and tell me, he's not hot, is he? He's not.
We could put it up to Twitter, but
it's
a little out of context.
Yeah.
Bing.
Yeah, it is.
Is it too soon after suicide?
No. Absolutely not.
Do you want me to put it on Twitter? I'll just write, is this guy hot?
Yeah. Can you put his picture?
Sure.
I don't know if you can do a, you'd have to put the poll in the comments, but.
Okay. Well, let me. I got to do something here.
Bing!
I know I sent Eli this wonderful email we got from. Why is my search function not working? Damn it. Eli. Three letters, Eli. And there it isn't. I'll have to find it for tomorrow. Anyway, we had somebody who wrote this just gorgeous letter about Dr. Yaldo and the life-changing eye surgery they had. They had the custom topography-guided LASIK, and somebody who had never, you know, had always had problems with their vision, and they were so delighted to be seeing like that. It was just unbelievable. It is the most precise in the world. Multifocal lens replacement for people over 45 will have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. And because insurance in so many cases does not cover it, people are more than interested when someone says $1,500 off the regular price, which is what Dr. Yaldo is saying. Plus, if you bring a friend, you get an additional half off your surgery. Not to mention the way it can pay for itself in the money you spend on eye exams. Not to mention, I spend a lot of money on frames myself. I got to have prescription sunglasses to be cool, too. And I got to have prescription regular glasses. And I got to have contacts for those whatever moments. I never wear them anyway. I hate contacts. Anyway, get a free evaluation from Dr. Yaldo. Call 800-398-EYES or go to YaldoEyeCenter.com. Tell him you want the Drew and Mike discount. And remember, the Yaldo Eye Center now is a third location in Rochester, on Rochester Road, just north of M59. And Zot Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off their Jeep celebration event. And they've got the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass as low as $155 a month. They've got the new 2020 Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive as low as $249 a month. Then there's also the 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. Then if you like performance, port an Indian SUV that drives like a sports car. There's the, it just sounds sleek and fast, the 2020 Dodge Durango GT at just $343 a month. And then Jeep Wrangler, well, some people are saying, Jeep Wrangler, oh, yeah, man, like that. You want them, Zot's got them. Plus, you still have time to custom order a Wrangler to your specs. Get details and surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. You can see everything at dealsinthed.com. Okay. What were you looking up, Mark?
I'm looking for a picture of Steve Bing.
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. Yeah, I love it. I'm sorry. I can't. And if everybody sends me emails and says, oh, Steve Bing is so hot, Drew, you're crazy. You can't judge guys. It is a little weird judging guys.
Silver Fox?
I know he has $600 million, but I mean, forget the $600. Take the $600 away from him. It's so hard for people to do.
I mean, I'm trying to find a photo that's fair to use. I mean, that one's fair, isn't it?
Let me see.
This one's fair, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. He thinks he's hot in that picture.
Okay.
He does.
You like what you see, huh?
You know what I just love are the pictures that politicians use of their opponent in the ads.
Oh, my God. Yeah. The Trump love using that one of Biden where he's, is he in the subway where he's just like this, like, like no one's home,
exactly
like,
what? What you're talking about. There are some, the Lincoln Project did some ads against Lindsey Graham, and Lindsey Graham just looks bloated and just, he just looks out of it. They're just terrible. There's like four of them in the ad. But yeah, that's always great. I would love to use a terrible picture of Steve Bing, but he looks, to me, he looks stupid all the time. Nice, and I know he thinks he's hot in that picture, so I'm happy with it. But anyway, when Steve Bing died at 55, he had $300,000 left.
What?
Yep.
Out of $600 million?
Out of $600 million. Hmm. So I'm going to say I think he spent $599 million and $700,000 getting people to know he inherited $600 million. That's pretty much what he did. Because he bought all these credits, all these producer credits, which you pay a lot of money to get your name at the end of that movie. And the $300,000, by the way, this is incredible. It is in a trust that goes to the Clinton Foundation, who he already gave $10 million to, by the way.
Really?
And he has debtors. He has people he owes money, including KRE Wellness, who he stopped paying. He owes them $6.7 million. But the way this trust is set up, the Clinton Foundation will get the money first before any of this stuff happens. I guess he has some property that maybe they can sell to raise some money to try and pay some of his debts. But meanwhile, his two offspring get nothing. Get absolutely nothing. And the daughter, who goes by Kira Kerkorian, even though she's Steve Bing's daughter, she was assigned by the judge to be the administrator of his, or executor of his will, I guess. And I'm sure the feeling was that, well, there's got to be something for his two kids. And the fact is, at present, it doesn't look good because the $300,000, which would be something, we'll go to the Clinton Foundation no matter what. It has to in the trust. And I'm sure the Clinton Foundation could turn it down.
Didn't he sign up for, I should look this up, but I thought I read that he signed up for the Giving Pledge, where the one where it's part of his plan to take over the world, where, what's his face, Microsoft?
Oh, with
Bill
Gates?
Bill Gates wants you to give away all your money after he gives you
Bing signed up for that.
I think so.
You know, you're probably right. The funny thing, though, is that he didn't have anywhere near the money that people thought he had because he had blown through it all. Yeah. He spent $100 million on some animated films that were considered, it was considered a pretty risky investment, but some people thought this guy had a lot on the ball.
Jeez.
Spent $100 million.
Isn't a spending money contest.
Complete stiffs. Complete stiffs. And then, of course, Get Carter was another 63, although you said he got 19 back, Brandon? So he only lost
19 back, right.
He lost $44 million. Yeah. But, you know, what do you get when you stiff your kids? Actually, here's the quote from his will. Liz Hurley was pregnant when his last will was drawn up, and his will reads, "Whether or not such child is mine, it is my intention not to provide for this child in the will.
What a dick.
Or any other child as to which I may be the father." And then it goes on to include the offspring of such child. In other words, if Liz Hurley kid is his, then not only does the kid not get anything, but any offspring do not get anything.
So no grandchildren.
Right. And essentially,
I wish I had a father.
His will provides nothing for his two kids. But what do you get for stiffing your two kids in your will and instead leaving, well, not just the $300 at the end, but $10,300,000 at least to the Clinton Foundation? Well, you get a pretty,
that's my dad.
You get a pretty sweet eulogy from an ex-president.
Oh, really? You give a eulogy?
Well, he spoke of him. He didn't. There wasn't a formal. I don't think there was a funeral because of COVID.
Was it like a tweet or something?
It was a little more than a tweet. I'm just going to read a portion of it. He said, "And this, you know, this again, this guy that stiffed both kids.
Yeah,
banged everything in sight.
Well, maybe that's why he likes him.
Had lists. He had lists of women by their usage, like 2 a.m. in the morning women, women to take to an event. I mean, he was a real scumbag. But Clinton says...
Oh, you're talking about Bing.
Bing.
I thought you were talking about Clinton.
No.
Just kidding.
I love Steve Bing very much. He had a big heart and was willing to do anything he could for the people and the causes he believed in. Unfortunately, he didn't believe in his kids, but...
Except for his children.
Except for his own kids.
He should have added that. Wow.
Yeah, but Bill Gates said he has that one son, remember?
Oh, Danny.
Oh, yeah, Danny. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, let's see. 6'4". The money got him laid by women miles out of his league. And that's my own term. I'm really curious to hear what people say and how this Twitter poll comes out.
You want very early returns?
Yes, I do.
There's only 29 votes in right now, and 93% say no.
Really? 7% think he's hot?
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
And only one comment in the comment so far is, that's a man?
So.
I mean, it was.
Lisa Bonder, Elizabeth Hurley, you heard about all the other women. Bing's death, by the way, was days before the anniversary of the death of his actress girlfriend, Alex Ann Mitchum, who was 28. Steve Bing was 54 when they were together. I wonder if she knew he was down to his last $300,000. I bet probably she didn't know that. I really don't think she did.
He probably spent the previous $200 on her.
And she died from taking a Xanax that was laced by fentanyl. Maybe that's when she found out he only had $300,000. Because she, at that point, slept with him a lot. Bing jumped from his penthouse in the 10,000 building in Los Angeles, which was considered one of the most prestigious addresses in all of Los Angeles. Now, he apparently had planned to buy, and for some reason, we know the reason is he was out of money. He decided that he'd rather pay the... he would rather rent the place for a while until, you know, he decided that he was sure he wanted to stay there. So his rent, $65,000 a month.
Oh, my God.
$65,000 a month.
How big is this place?
4,000 square feet.
It's too damn high.
I mean, he could downsize. Why does he need 4,000 square feet?
Well, because he's used to having everything he wants all the time.
You know, sometimes when you're down to your last $600,000.
I know. It's crazy.
Make some life changes, Binger.
$65,000 a month. That means he only had five months rent left. He'd rather stay there for 5 months.
What a way to put it.
Where's all these Kangaroo Jack residuals?
Kangaroo Jack amazingly made money, apparently.
Did it really?
Yes.
Wow, because people made...
I know.
Incredible fun of that movie, and it's Rotten Tomatoes. What did you say? It's 11 or
eight.
Something?
It was an 8.
Good God.
Mm-hmm.
So he was 18 when he inherited the $600 million. He dropped out of college, decided he wanted to dominate the film industry. That's a quote from him. Yeah, just well, like well done. Howard Hughes.
Well done.
All the hot women, just like Howard Hughes. He even financed and produced a movie about Howard Hughes called Rules Don't Apply. I bet that sucked.
Here's his quote when he dropped out of school.
Like most of America, I think I know the movie business.
I think Rules Don't Apply may have been recent because it said that he paid...
2016.
Okay. He paid Warren Beatty and then optioned it, so he paid him again, and then he paid him to direct it. So he might have just wanted to be Warren Beatty's friend, so he did all this stuff. And I don't think the movie did anything.
Well, it's got another good cast. He's got Warren Beatty, Annette Bening, Matthew Broderick, Lily Collins, and a $25 million budget. Unfortunately, it only made 3.9 the box office.
What movie is this?
Rules Don't Apply, his movie about Howard Hughes, his mentor. I know. It's amazing the way this guy blew. I mean, how do you blow $600 million out your ass? He only had 37 years to blow it out his ass, and he still did it.
It's once again, Brewster's Millions.
It is, yeah, you know what? It is kind of impressive. When we were talking about that, I was thinking, yeah, I don't know how I would spend as much money as, oh, I know. We were talking about Dr. Dre's soon-to-be ex-wife, who wanted $2 million a month. I was like, God, it would take me all day to spend enough money to spend the $2 million. Anyway, where'd all this money come from? His grandfather, Leo Bing, was a builder, and he built some of the most famous apartment buildings on Manhattan's Upper East Side. He died a billionaire in 1956. his dad, Peter Bing, was a doctor who was a very prestigious doctor. In fact, he served in the Johnson administration and the JFK administration. Peter then moved the family to Beverly Hills, kept a practice. But the story was that Peter Bing lived very modestly.
They said
he drove older cars and he flew coach. Now, that's interesting because Stephen Bing, who never worked but inherited all this money, he had a private jet, which he flew people on all the time, and he flew on all the time, too.
Good move. Good move.
What an asshole. Steve Bing went to private school. He's a private school brat. He lived in a guest house on his parents' property growing up. He had a guest house. He had his own house.
That's pretty sweet.
Dr. Stephen Bing was on the board of trustees at Stanford. He also went to Stanford, graduated from Stanford, and the Bings had endowed a building on Stanford's campus. So, not surprisingly, Steve Bing went to Stanford. I don't know if he would have normally gotten into Stanford, but
probably
he
not. Did.
He dropped out really quickly. And they sold that screenplay while he was at Stanford, but it, of course, took a long, long time to make it, and it lost its ass.
I love this picture. Here he is with James Toback and Brett Ratner.
Oh, my God. Two of the worst people in the world.
Yeah, and Brian Grazer, too. So.
Yeah, he's in a lot of pictures with famous people.
Well, look at that picture of him and Brooke, man.
Oh, yeah, it's like, what, is that her dad, or who's that? Who's that ugly guy? Is she doing a Make-A-Wish thing, or what's going on?
It does look like a little bit Make-A-Wish.
I know, like, why would she be with him?
Actually, it looks like some guy won her in a celebrity auction where you get to date her for the night.
Yeah, and the girl does everything she can not to even kiss you by the time you go home.
And there he is hanging out with James Caan, and then one where he's hanging out with Warren Beatty.
Oh, Jesus. What a joke.
You could spend some money on a better haircut, too.
You know, he's very, he developed a reputation, which it sounded like he really was important to him, as a boho kind of guy.
Oh.
You know, he liked dressing down. He wore T-shirts and khakis. But he also wasn't afraid to tell people that he'd inherited $600 million.
So weird.
reputation as a ladies man. That made me so mad reading that. Categorized women as call it 2 a.m. girls, take to an event girls, so on and so forth. And he said he lived by the Warren Beatty quote, "I'll sleep with almost anybody. You never know. She may be the best fuck of your life." Classy.
Huh.
Turns out he was pretty tight with Heidi Fleiss, which was a problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when Heidi got in trouble, Steve Bing's name came up, and he was livid and insisted he had never done anything related to Heidi Fleiss. But Heidi Fleiss said, well, actually, he would bring groups of guys over and just kind of treat them, sort of like, hey, get a chick on the house for me. And then he also would call for regular visits from some of these super hot prostitutes.
When Elizabeth Hurley outed him, the London papers called him Bing Laden. that's a great nickname, Bing Laden, just because he was so mean.
Well, yeah, it just sounds like such a dick.
Yeah.
And it's funny, when he got in this relationship with Liz Hurley, one of the things that she said in an interview shortly after she met him was that he was so passionate about the environment, and he gives so generously to all these causes.
At his own peril, though.
And that he had just finished Robert Caro's first volume on Lyndon Johnson. Oh, he's very well read.
He did not read that.
I know he didn't. I want a forensic account so bad.
He read Cliff Notes version of it.
But when this relationship, which she insisted was exclusive, was going on, he also was having an affair with this Armani model, and he still partied with Charlie Sheen. And flew to Vegas often on his private jet.
Did he think that donating would provide him some kind of shield?
Yeah, I think he did. I think he just thought it looked good.
Yeah.
And he had so much money.
Got him some ladies, so.
Apparently, he would be out, like he and Sheen and some dudes might be out in the town, and all of a sudden the inspiration would hit that they wanted to go to a strip club in Vegas. Yeah. So they would literally get on his private jet, fly to Vegas,
sweet,
hit the strip club, and then, you know, maybe come home,
it's
maybe not.
Cool.
He also flew Hurley around the world, and so she was very happy about that. She announced the pregnancy on the Today Show. We talked about that. Bing was humiliated after the whole thing about saying that he was in a non-exclusive relationship, and there was some back and forth, and he ended up looking like such an asshole. So he decided to try and help his image by giving away huge amounts of money. He bankrolled a California ballot measure. Then he spent $10 million on the Natural Resources Defense Council. I don't even know what that is. But the reason it got a lot of attention was because it was the largest donation ever. And then he made the largest donation ever to the DNC of $5 million and gave $10 million to the Clinton Foundation, which also drew a lot of attention. He started a record company and a construction company. Both lost their ass.
Oh, record company.
Good timing. What did he 2002. What a great time.
What did he put out?
I don't know what he put out. They didn't mention anything. I mean, it's probably Bing Records.
Oh, I got to look that up.
Everything he did flopped. Get Carter was around this time. The animated movies, which he spent $100 million on, all flops. He got Kangaroo Jack made, which he was pilloried for.
The name of his music label is Shangri-La.
Oh, how clever.
Shangri-La.
He's so clever. In 2008, Gawker named Bing one of Clinton's billionaire boys club with Ron Burkle, Stephen Bing, and Jeffrey Epstein. Nice. Nice company.
What year was that?
2008.
Wow.
And
here's some of the bands that he had on the Shangri-La.
Yeah, but
music.
They're great.
Let's
Rolling Stones on there?
Boutique label, of course. Well, he would have signed them. He was a huge Stones fan. Monsters of Folk. Which, what a stupid name.
Wow, Monsters of Folk. How cool is that?
The Duke Spirit, Amazing Baby, Stacey Clark, One Eskimo, and The Pretenders.
Oh, wow. You forgot this. You forgot the Doyle Hargraves band.
One, two, three, four.
Oh, they would have been great on that record. Yeah. Friends and acquaintances said that around that time that Gawker named him part of the Clinton's Billionaire Boys Club, that he was a regular at Los Angeles nightclubs, which all seemed to agree that, you know, it was kind of embarrassing that you could always expect to see him at Tao on certain nights because he was 45 years old. Why is that guy going to nightclubs night after night? He also started hanging with Heidi Fleiss again, and she said that he, at this point, was shooting crystal meth. He was addicted to crystal meth. And I don't think that was any big secret later. It came out later and it was known. Then in 2018, he has dinner with a girl by the name of Carrie Mitchum. She is Robert Mitchum's granddaughter. Or maybe she's his daughter because she's 50-something. He'd known her for a long, long time. And he said he has said many times to many people that his most prized possession was a note on Four Seasons stationery letting him know that Robert Mitchum would like to join him for lunch. Now, I really join him for lunch? Like, yeah. He's the big hero?
Yeah.
And it was the note was from his girlfriend at the time, Sharon Stone. Anyway, I know.
Cool.
Carrie Mitchum happened to bring her 27-year-old niece, who was out shopping with her.
Oh, boy.
She's an artist, actress, and Bing's boner immediately, of course, is directed at her, the 27-year-old niece, even though he's 53. They said that they were inseparable within days. Bing bought her an art studio, and she wanted to move to Palm Springs, so he rented a gigantic house in Palm Springs for the two of them so they could get away from all the terrible things in Hollywood that they both have been so victimized by. She said she wanted a baby, and he said he wanted a baby, too. He wanted to start
to
a family.
Down. Yeah, good for him, man.
Yeah, just when he's almost out of money.
Yeah. Start the family. Well, you know, it's convenient.
Well, might as well have a perfect record on none of the kids getting anything. And then in June of 2019, Bing and Alexanne Mitchum have a fight at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Now, why is he staying in the Beverly Hills? He's got a $65,000 a month
4,000 square feet, yeah.
So why is he staying at the Beverly Hills Hotel? This find this often that he's staying at some swanky hotel. And it's like, but you got a house 2 miles away.
It's just where he ended up for the night.
So they have a disagreement, and it sounds like the two of them were both pretty deep into meth or maybe more. And anyway, in the course of this fight, he kicks her out. 24 hours later, she's in a coma from an overdose.
She's beautiful, too.
Allegedly. Oh, yeah. All his girlfriends are gorgeous. She had Xanax, which was for some reason laced with fentanyl. August 2019, Bing's financial manager reports that he met him at the Beverly Hills. Again, he's at the Beverly Hills Hotel. What? Why is he at the Beverly Hills Hotel? But he had been there for days doing meth nonstop, not sleeping. And the financial manager said the lights were off, he was lying in bed, and that he had been trying to have this urgent discussion with him about his finances, And after the discussion, that Bing said he wanted to kill himself.
A little side note on Alex Ann Mitchum.
Yeah.
Her mother or father, Bentley Mitchum? Does that sound familiar?
Not familiar with Bentley Mitchum.
Wouldn't the Mitchums have a lot of money?
Yeah, I would think so. Because Robert Mitchum was a huge star.
They had a GoFundMe for her afterlife expenses.
Raised
about $14,000 of their $10,000 goal.
Afterlife expenses? What would that include?
Well, I think it's funeral.
Oh, I thought afterlife. You meant like her afterlife.
Oh, like going to
existence,
heaven.
Her reincarnated person needed
it's
some dough.
Funeral, ICU, hospital expenses, etc. And then if you look at people that donated, the fourth name down is Heidi Fleiss. She donated $20.
$20. How nice. So it's Bing beautiful. Bing was talked out of killing himself, although he was very upset about his finances. He also had reconnected with Kira Kerkorian, his daughter, he had connected to her for the first time. And when he met with the financial manager at the hotel with the lights out, Bing acknowledged that this had all sort of fallen by the wayside because he had been doing so many drugs and being addicted to meth. His world had spiraled, and indeed he had blown off Kira Kerkorian. He had missed a dinner. He had missed another get-together. And so he decided, with the help of his manager, that he should go to rehab, which, you know, why not? Not my fault either. I'm going to rehab because it's not my fault. All that shit I did, all that crazy shit, not my fault.
You're going into a rehab.
It's just sad that he's bringing all these people down with him.
I know. It's terrible. He got sober, and he was talking to a therapist twice a day.
And he realized he only had $600,000 left.
There's no way that stops playing. This guy does whatever he wants. This is a guy who lives in a $65,000 a month penthouse when he only has $300,000 left. He's got 5 months. That's it.
My thought was, it's kind of hard to replace that tenant in that penthouse.
Oh, God. I know. I wonder how many people will pay that kind of rent. That seems so crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, in the course of his sobriety, I thought this was interesting. He got in a big fight with his father, and it turned out it was...
How old is he?
He's 55.
You got to fight with his dad.
His dad has got to be 80-something,
yeah,
I think.
I know.
And it involved a trust of his father's that apparently he thought he should be entitled to some of.
Did I do good, Daddy?
Now, you've only blown $600 million from the last trust. I don't think I blame the father for feeling maybe he'd done enough for Stephen Bing.
No.
So, anyway... I guess he felt that his father was cheating him or ripping him off or something. I'm not exactly sure what it was. It was about a trust that he was not happy with. So Carrie Mitchum, the aunt of his girlfriend, who is now dead, visited him at his $65,000 a month penthouse. And she said that this is very shortly before he died. She said it was mostly empty. So
he's selling stuff?
He may have been selling things, or he may not have been able to afford the... that's right. There you go. So
once again, I think he would downsize before he starts selling everything.
Yeah, I think he'd move to how about just a $5,000 a month joint, and then you can live there for 13 months months.
Or how about get rid of the apartment in total and just live at the hotel that you've been at?
Yeah, or he had another property I think he owned somewhere. I mean, why not...
How do you not set up an annuity to save your ass in case you do recklessly spend?
It's so dumb. He could have just put $5 million aside and lived high on the hog for the rest of his life. But no. He had to go down to his last dime, and it's like, oh, fuck, I bought everything. I've got to kill myself. I mean, I wish there was some important message at the end or some... I don't know, something that sort of coalesced in his brain, some brilliant sort of philosophy.
He's sober.
He did get sober.
Spend your money well.
Judge made Kira Kerkorian the minister of his will, and of course she finds out that the last $300,000 has to go to the Clinton Foundation, and the kids have no claim on it, and there's all these debtors.
I'm sure Bill will do the right thing.
He will give it to the kids. Of course he will.
Okay, great.
Great guy.
I love Stephen Bing.
Well, speaking of flicks, did you
catch... That is a long story, but quite well told.
And right now, pretty well told.
And right now, the Twitter poll is at 87.7% find him not attractive.
Okay. I'll accept that. I'm not happy about it. It should be 100, in my opinion.
Did you guys watch Borat this weekend?
Oh, yeah.
I have not seen Borat.
Oh,
I
only, true. No, you're killing
I'm
me.
I'm going to see it. I absolutely will see it. Just I haven't seen it yet.
I will start by saying this. The Rudy Giuliani scene, which is getting a lot of the attention.
Yeah.
And going along with the leaps being made in 2020.
Mm-hmm. It's leap year.
I do think it was quite a leap to say he was masturbating or touching himself while he's on the bed.
I kind of thought that way, too. I didn't really understand why you leaned back on the bed to tuck your shirt in. That seemed a little weird to me, but I didn't think he was masturbating.
I don't think he was masturbating. I don't think he was adjusting his dick. I kind of do think he was tucking his shirt in. However, the fact that he thought she was into him. And
he was clearly kissing her ass.
He did and patting it, and, well, I guess maybe more her hip, to be accurate, but then asking for her phone number and her address and going into the other room and drinking with her. It shows some very poor judgment. But more than anything,
I just can't believe he thinks that that girl would be interested in him on that, any level.
The way that scene fits into the plot of the movie is really, really funny.
The way the whole movie comes together, I thought it was very smart considering it was 2020, and I thought I laughed out loud multiple times right out of the gate too. And the only negative I've seen are really people who are taking the whole political thing very seriously. For example, Donald Trump and Mike Pence and Rudy Giuliani, they're a butt of a lot of jokes. However,
he also got the girl who was with Giuliani. He got her into some White House event.
Yeah, yeah, via OAN or ALN.
She was fantastic in the movie.
Brandon, I'm glad you said that. She honestly was the highlight of the film, is how good she was in pulling the pranks, because no one knew who she was.
Right.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure.
But there's a couple scenes there. The daddy-daughter dance.
Oh, my God.
It's grotesque, it's juvenile, and it's fucking hilarious.
Who's her daddy?
Oh, Borat.
Borat is. That's right. That's the plot of the movie. Well, I don't want to spoil it, but why she's in America and what's going on. But it's ludicrous, but it's still, I don't know. I found it very, very funny. There's some cringy moments, like when he goes into the temple dressed as what Borat would say is a stereotypical Jew.
Oh, God.
Which is in a devil's costume.
He's never short on cringy.
Long nose. In one hand, he's got a marionette that says media on it. In the other, he's carrying like a cartoon satchel bag.
Oh, God.
Now, remember, he's Jewish, Sacha Baron Cohen. Yeah. So I guess it's okay. You know, I mean, I don't care anyway, but if anybody's mad
at him. Yeah, if anybody can get away with it, it's him.
It's him, yeah. But, you know, that scene, Brandon, you and I were talking about, there's that scene and there's another scene with an African-American woman, black woman, and it's kind of, they're really kind of very sweet scenes in the end. Like, those two people were very nice. Like, it's like, oh, there's some humanity in the world with the way they treated both Borat and the girl.
I don't know. I couldn't say better things about it, to tell you the truth. I really enjoyed it. The only thing is people are going to see it. And if you get really offended by jokes that are aimed towards your political party, you're probably not going to like it.
Yeah,
and
don't watch it.
Well, that's, you got to put that aside. That's the movie is funny.
The TV show did the same thing. It was beating down on, you know, it was making an idiot. Well, they were making idiots out of themselves.
Well, This Is America was more, I could see how more people got upset with that, because a lot of that was kind of, they tried to trap a lot of people and kind of run the narrative themselves. This movie, you got to remember, is a movie. So that's what I like. I don't know. That's what I really enjoyed it. I really did. I recommend
scene,
it.
The fact scene is hilarious. We were laughing at that before. We were laughing at the fake names he uses too, Brandon.
What was it?
Cliff Safari.
Cliff Safari. Great, I think there was name.
John Chevrolet.
John Chevrolet.
Billy Sex Crime. The picture of him cutting Billy Sex Crime's hair.
Country Steve.
And of course, Professor Philip Drummond. The third, which is just funny because of the Different Strokes reference.
Yeah,
I think I will. I'm sure I'll like it.
I think you'll like it.
And, you know, even the This Is America was. I mean, it was funny at times. It's very really cringy. I mean, it does get really cringy. But and I also I just didn't like. I don't want anything that isn't anything that doesn't need to be political. I don't like it when it becomes political, because everything is political now. So as far as, you know, the movie, I'll live with it, because I love Borat, and I'm sure I'll laugh at the movie. I just don't know. My reigning feeling after we saw the Giuliani thing on Thursday was, God, it just seems like I don't know. I guess it seems like somebody would absolutely, because everybody's threatening everyone now, I would think he would have so many fucking people mad at him.
Borat?
Yeah. Well, or no. Sacha Baron Cohen.
Sure, I'm sure people are livid at him.
I would never want to, and this is what gives the guy, I mean, he has amazing balls. Mm-hmm. Amazing balls. Because I could never live with how many people I would have to worry about getting
one
really
hour and
upset.
39 minutes. Okay. Just what? Writing that down.
What?
Nothing.
What?
Nothing. I might be an audio clip later on.
What did I say?
Amazing balls.
Drop worthy? Amazing balls? He does have amazing balls.
That one's even better, Brandon.
He does.
You talking about Hunter Biden again?
No, that's just he has an amazingly long shaft.
Oh, my God. What, this year is just insane.
I can't believe Hunter Biden's dong is so huge.
I know. I'm pissed. It actually pisses me off. It's like, God, couldn't the
9 inches?
I mean, isn't his
with
life
proof
easy enough? Well, actually, I was thinking about Hunter Biden.
Hey, you've really got your dad's penis.
Somehow, he ends up standing upright with lots of money, living in Beverly Hills, mm-hmm, with this gorgeous 29-year-old girl.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a young baby. So it somehow it seems like it all worked out.
It's the American dream.
I still don't know if I would want to be Hunter Biden because, oh my God, to get to this point, it seems like it would just be so...
I don't know. Looking at those pictures, seems like he had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it does seem like he pretty much enjoyed himself. Although going to rehab a whole bunch is not much fun.
But he left pretty quick, didn't he?
But, you know, also the sister-in-law thing. I mean, what a mess. It's just such a mess.
Did you see the political ads running during the World Series and during the Michigan
game? They did?
Game?
There were some.
The new Biden ones where he uses Brad Pitt to do the voiceover.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, I didn't see that. And
Sam Elliott. And I was just watching the Sam Elliott ad, but the way it starts, I go, is this a car commercial? Didn't you think it was like a Super Bowl car commercial for, you know, rebuilding Detroit? Did you feel that way, Brandon, or no?
I had to do a double take because I heard it and I was like, there's no way that's Sam Elliott. Just because I think in my mind, I think of Sam Elliott as being a Texan cowboy and
yeah.
I just thought he was a conservative. But no, once I heard it, it was like, that is Sam. And you're right. It sounds very professional.
It's supposed to be it is a positive political ad, which means it won't work because we don't like the negative ones. But I just like hearing it at first, I thought it was like a Super Bowl commercial for GM post the economy failing. Listen, here you go.
There is only one America. No Democratic rivers. No Republican mountains. Just this great land. And all that's possible on it.
I mean, doesn't this
with
look
a
like
fresh
a
start?
Ad for a car company.
Hey, that's quite a voice you've got there. Future. You ever think about doing radio?
Work to reward.
I assume almost everything's a political ad now.
Dignity to protect.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because it was Sam Elliott. It's like, oh, that's a pretty cool ad.
You know,
and then they had a Brad Pitt one too, which was whatever.
I'm surprised Brad Pitt would do an ad.
Really?
Yeah.
Brad Pitt wants to fix everything?
Are you, man?
It's me, Mr. Vice President.
Oh, God, I love you. I just wanted to stay high.
But I can't preach like you guys can.
America is a place for everyone. Those who chose this country. Those who fought for it. Some Republicans, some Democrats, and most just somewhere in between. All looking for the same thing. Someone who understands their hopes, their dreams, their pain. To listen. Oh, to bring people together. To get up every day and work to make life better for families like yours. To look you in the eye. Treat you with respect and tell you the truth. To work just as hard for the people who voted for him as those who didn't. To be a president for all Americans.
Wow, I'm looking forward to this presidency.
Brad Pitt, I was never a big fan of his.
The way
it sounds
started,
so easy, doesn't it?
The way he started out with America, I just was thinking, whoa, wouldn't that be great if you used Evan Marriott, Joe Millionaire, to the ring?
That would be too cool. That's the only thing that could.
I'm just a heavy equipment operator. I don't know much.
It was a total shock.
Total shock.
America, they knew.
what you see is what you get.
It just seems like people who have gotten mixed up for whatever reason in whether it's BLM or the election, it usually ends very badly. Oh, like I keep seeing it's one of the clips from I Take Responsibility.
Oh, well, that's
you know who's become a huge meme is the guy from Breaking Bad.
Oh, Jesse, or, yeah.
Because he's trying so hard to sound like he really means
like
it.
Like he gives a shit.
Yeah. And, you know, the Imagine thing, it just always, it just didn't work out well. So I didn't expect, it seems like people that are on the bandwagon late and they're mixing themselves up in it, it just seems like, first of all, people are so bored of hearing people tell them to vote or what to do.
Sure.
Although Jennifer Aniston posted a picture of her voting. Oh, man. And then she had a – I was really surprised she would – I don't think she knows what she's doing because I have a feeling she's probably getting a lot of shit. But she said, it's not about one candidate or one issue, but rather the future of our country and the world. Vote for equal rights, for love, and for decency. P.S. It's not funny to vote for Kanye. So, I mean, it's – isn't she telling us what to do kind of –
Sure.
Every poll, I voted for Kanye in every poll, and I was in like probably 15 polls this year. So I was the one that was skewing that. And I just thought, I just did it because I thought it was funny.
Jennifer Aniston said it's not funny, Brandon.
I know.
No, it's not funny. It's not.
She knows comedies.
And she knows.
Has anybody listened to the full 3-hour Kanye Joe Rogan podcast?
No.
Oh, do you know about it at all?
I did not know about it.
Do you want to hear some takeaways about it?
What, such as?
I'm trying to find the.
Let me just mention Chelsea Handler quickly because
God.
50 Cent had said, I'm voting for Trump, 62% taxes, and he was computing all the New York taxes along with Joe Biden raising
federal, state, and city.
He doesn't want to change his name to 30 Cent.
20 Cent.
20 Cent.
So Chelsea Handler said that she needs to remind 50 Cent that he's black. And this is after he endorsed Trump. And, you know, BLM, remember? And she said something like, maybe we can go for another spin if you'll denounce Trump. I'm like,
I think you can do better.
Chelsea Handler, should she really remind 50 Cent that he's black? Is that something he's really forgotten?
If you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump and you ain't black.
That is so fucking condescending. I can't even believe it. And I was thinking she probably got a lot of shit for it, but I don't know that she did. Did you hear anything?
I
mean, did you hear about her saying that? Because I was like, what?
I just heard that she was ripping on him, and he's my least favorite ex-boyfriend now or something because he always was her favorite. I don't know.
Basically, I think that was on Thursday or Friday. But then
she's got a new HBO thing she's promoting, so we have to hear her opinion on everything.
Whew. Okay.
So I thought the 20 Cent joke was pretty decent.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny. But that was his joke.
It's his joke. That was funny.
Yeah.
So Dave sent one clip over of Kanye on Rogan's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
About him.
Let me talk to you about. So we're serious here. So let's talk about like real presidential issues. Let's talk about like here's some things.
Is this a little ridiculous that Joe Rogan's talking to Kanye about real political issues?
I would say yeah.
Is that it, just when we talk about this country? Here's some things that mean a lot to me. One, student debt. I think it's crazy. I think it's crazy that we take children when they're 17, 18 years old. We send them away to college. We make them literally hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And then we ask them to go out into the world and try to manage this money and try to get a job that's going to pay them a fraction of what they owe for their education. I think it's crazy. I think we should figure out a way to absolve student debt. I think we should figure out a way to make education, at the very least, far less expensive than it is now. This is a big issue for people.
Absolutely. I'm completely confident that I will figure out how to get America out of debt. That I have the ability. Once I see everything, I never make the wrong decision.
Never made the wrong decision.
Then I'm given all the information. That's my skill set. Anything I go into, producing, rap, homes, clothing,
anything.
I'm given the right information, I apply my taste, and I have the best taste on the planet.
I mean, that's pretty cut and clear. It's, you know, economic problems and debt are run by
he has the best taste on
taste.
The planet? I don't know that taste really makes a difference
it
when you're crunching the numbers.
It doesn't at all. Let's see what else there is. I am Kanye West, and I approve this message. Well, he did say that he thinks three-dimensionally. I don't think in the black and white lines I've been programmed to think in, and I think in full color. So when I talk, I have to describe a thought in five ways. We enjoy food that has multiple seasonings in it. We enjoy music that has multiple instruments. So when I talk, it's not a rant. It's a symphony of ideas.
Okay.
He also talked about...
I love how he's so good at expressing how great he is and how brilliant he is.
He's prioritized his relationship with God over music because he doesn't know how to rap for God.
Hmm.
Which, I don't know. And then, of course, his choir quickly became the best choir of all time because all the best singers moved to California. Which he got the message from God while he was in the shower, and he didn't believe it at first, but then he realized that he was supposed to run for president.
I bet you're banging your roommate that was in the shower.
He feels bad for listening to his past music. Think about this thought. Here's a five-season...
Well, get it taken off the platforms then.
Here's a five-season thought. You ready? There's only a billion people on the internet. Never think about that. There's 7 to 8 billion people on Earth, but there's only a billion people that are influenced and are on the internet. It feels like the internet is everything. It's only like 15, 16, 18% of human beings. It's pretty heavy.
Wow.
Now, some people would say, but those billion people that are on the internet probably have far more purchasing power and power in general to make the economy move and make things happen.
Yeah, I'm not sure exactly what his point is, but
and most of them, are Americans.
He thinks three-dimensionally. I only think in black and white, so.
And then talking about his bipolar disorder?
Yeah.
This is really weird. It blocked my ability to channel what God wanted me to do. We're all on medication right now. Did you use toothpaste with fluoride in it? It blocks your pineal gland, and they put children on it. We all put our children on it. Inside the deodorants we use, it's all these things to create a disconnect to God to serve that. Are you serving man, or are you serving the one and only master?
Okay.
I
don't know how
God's like, don't drag me into this.
I mean,
somebody.
I know a lot of people that believe in God and they still use fluoride and they still use deodorant.
I have a neighbor with a fluoride sticker that talks about the dangers of it on his car.
Really?
So, yeah, there's a lot of people who feel like there's water in the fluoride, or excuse me, fluoride in the water that's killing us as well.
Yeah, it's turning all the frogs.
Chemtrails.
Remember, well, Alex Jones told us it's turning all the frogs yay.
Kanye is always very interesting. To a point. I don't know how Joe... I don't know how Joe spent 3 hours talking to him. Some of it is just such nonsense.
Yeah, but Rogan's strength is he's genuinely interested in what the... He listens.
Well, I'm interested in what he has to say, too, but I just don't know if I could do it for that long, because he just... Plus, not to mention all the things that he says are absolutely outrageous. You know, slavery is a choice, and you know, things like that. I don't know how you can stay on course.
Well, Harriet Tubman never actually freed the slaves. She just had the slaves go work for other white people.
Harriet Tubman was a slave.
Yes, she was.
She was a slave.
Nobody talks shit about Harriet Tubman these days.
I got to give him credit, though, because he does manage to... He keeps his sponsors. He keeps his success. He keeps everything going in spite of saying things that would get almost anyone canceled.
Yeah. Well, but he's Kanye, so.
Yeah.
He's got the power of God behind him.
Okay.
He also talks about COVID and how, you know, there's at this point there were 210,000 deaths due to COVID. Everywhere you go, you see someone with a mask on with a culture. I'll say it one time, the abortion culture. There are 1,000 black children aborted a day. And he goes on and talk about that, which is fine that he feels that way. I understand that. But they're not mutually exclusive. You don't have to choose between COVID and abortion if you wanted to.
I'm sure he's just trying to say that people don't get upset about abortion.
I think there's plenty of people upset about it.
It seems like, well, I don't know if I had to guess. I always get this wrong because at one time people were more pro-choice in this country, and I guess they're slightly more pro-life.
No, I would reverse that.
Is it the other way? I don't know. I thought we just talked about this.
Yeah, and I think you and I were saying you can be pro-life and pro-choice.
Yeah.
In other words, you can be pro-life in the way you conduct yourself, but don't really care what the rule is for the secular.
I think it's dominant pro-choice, and the reason being is, I mean, we see commercials about being, you don't see a lot of defense for pro-life unless it's religion.
Well, let me see. Poll. Can you
you know, obviously in Hollywood, you know, a woman's body, you know, they promote that. I just don't see any big name people aside from Kanye West and maybe John Voight saying that abortion is wrong. So,
oh, I could find you a whole bunch. Versus pro.
I guess it also depends on how far you go with it too, because, you know, as soon as someone says it doesn't matter if the mother's life is in danger or something like that.
Sure. Different cases.
Okay, yeah. Let's see. Options. Let me look at the numbers here. Phony tales display American self-identity, pro-choice or pro-life? U.S. adults, 48% are pro-choice, 46% are pro-life. 6% have no opinion. 43% of men are pro-choice, 51% of men are pro-life. 6% have no opinion. Women, 53% are pro-choice, 41% are pro-life. And then...
Oh, God, all this talk about abortion is making me super wet.
I'm just sad I brought it up. In the realm of Kanye.
That reminds me, just because there's a little religion sprinkled in here, the Pope coming out the other day to say that...
I know, he's crazy.
He's for civil unions, and he's getting all this shit for it. And
yeah.
I thought, you know, when I first read it, I was like, well, civil unions, I mean, shouldn't, if he's really trying to move the needle, wouldn't he say marriage?
Union.
Would he say marriage?
Yeah, wouldn't he say he's in favor of gays getting married?
I would say he needs to take baby Jesus steps here. I mean, don't forget about who he's talking to.
I know.
I think Pope Francis.
Well, it's just funny that he.
As a practicing Catholic, I like Pope Francis. He's a little more open-minded and about what. You know, we should care about me being the poor and the less unfortunate.
I guess I just thought that
people are people.
He's a little behind the curve saying civil union.
Yeah, I mean,
he has to take the middle step, and then he gets shit because he wants gays to have civil unions.
Is he canceled?
The union.
Did they cancel the Pope?
I don't know. Maybe. Can you handle this? And
sure,
Lucas.
Yeah,
my
great.
Name is Lucas.
If you're in one of those civil unions or a marriage and you're facing divorce and you're a man, then you need Adam, the American Divorce Association for Men. With Adam, you can get divorced without losing your house or your kids. And during the pandemic, Adam is offering a 10% discount to healthcare workers because they know the men working on the front line need to get divorced too. Call Adam at 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. I wonder if those divorce rates are still up.
Well, I know that they were going down because millennials were killing divorce. But
COVID brought it back in a raging way.
I want to say that the early predictions of COVID, those were, you know, that we would have a lot of divorces. What were the other ones that came into fruition?
What, about COVID?
Yeah, there was...
That everybody would hate each other and get bored with it after a while. Speaking of the market, overreaction is not the best strategy for the long-term investor. Neither is burying your head in the sand and hoping it all turns out for the best. So call our friend Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748, because he's going to provide you with rational financial advice. Coronavirus, like Brandon was bringing up, what does it mean now and 6 months from now, or 6 years even? Do you want to be in stocks? Do you want to be in bonds? What do you do with that 401k? What do you do with that college savings plan? Your 529. Is your company in the right investments? If you have a company, do you have a pension plan? What do you have? You need advice. You need a lot of it. And you need a strategy. So call Luke Nowacki at Pinnacle Wealth, 248-663-4748.
Securities and investment advisory services offered through Royal Alliance Associates Inc. Member FINRA SIPC.
Royal Alliance Associates Inc.
is separately owned, and other entities and/or marketing names, products, or services referenced here are independent of
Royal Alliance Associates Inc.
All right. I got a question for you.
I got an answer for you.
Did you know that R. Kelly was attacked last week? Did we talk about it?
Was he attacked again? I know he's attacked a little while ago, and they just he tried to get moved, and I think there was a motion filed by his lawyers because nobody protected him. Poor R. Kelly, why he's getting the shit kicked out of him.
Okay, because I hadn't heard the story, and you might be right. Maybe it was a few months old, and we just glossed over it because there wasn't a lot of details. Well, the mugshot came out of the guy who did the beating, the guy who beat up R. Kelly.
Oh, my God.
And this is the scariest-looking prison inmate I've ever seen.
Wow.
I know, that is really freaky.
His name is Jeremiah Farmer, and he has 752 tattoos on his face.
Are those mostly prison tattoos, do you suppose?
Yeah. Look at all those teardrops.
He's killed a lot.
Yeah.
Looks like one big green blob to me.
You know, whenever I see someone like that with all, you know, all those tattoos, yeah, and obviously a terrible person, some terrible thing. Do you ever think about, like, when he was a baby? Like, how shitty was the upbringing? Like, where did it go wrong?
Yeah.
This guy was convicted of a 1999 double murder.
Yeah, he's never going to see the light of day, so he might as well beat the shit out of R. Kelly, I suppose.
Talk about a slippery slope, though, man.
What?
Well, just that guy, whatever he did. I mean, wherever that first tattoo was on his face, that's a bold move. So yeah. If you're going to have one, why not get 50?
That's true. No, it is. It's
a bold move.
Yeah, what's the fifth one when you've already got four in your face?
Do you think he's glad he's got that major receding hairline so that one on the top, he's got more real estate?
He's got a weird skull.
Is that a crown? Is that a crown, like, above his left eye?
Jesus, it reminds me of something funny, but... First of all, I just want to say that I was confused because I heard that, well, we know that in the prison system, especially with people who are likely to be there a long time, mm-hmm. like him and R. Kelly, that pedophiles tend to get the shit beat out of them, or they get bullied or murdered or whatever. And so I was wondering, you know, did the fact that R. Kelly, you know, pees on 14-year-old girls and, you know, has sex with underage girls all the time, is that why this guy is so mad at him?
You know, it's funny. I just assume so. I don't know if they ever revealed.
I kind of did, too. But
then again, it's prison, Drew. It could be something as simple as him stealing a potato during chow.
No, you're right.
And I also happen to think this guy might be a racist. I don't know.
You but think?
I think
is it the Iron Cross between his eyes that tipped that off?
He's a member of the Latin Kings. Now, what does that mean?
I don't know. What does that mean?
I don't know either. Can we find out? I'm sure we can.
Doesn't look Latin.
Well, that means that he's a member of that gang.
Does that make sense?
Well, to me, you know, this is stupid. I don't want to get myself in any trouble with gang members, but I just seems to me if you're in a gang, you're in a gang, and you're probably going to do bad things.
Yeah.
But they all are identified in very specific ways, like, you know, where this is. But it just seems like a lot of negativity seems to stem from gang affiliation.
Can I ask another dumb question? Do you have to be Latin to be in the Latin Kings?
I don't think so.
His name is Jeremiah Farmer, and
he doesn't look Latin
white.
To me.
Jeremiah Shane Farmer.
Shane. Come on, that's the whitest name around, isn't it?
The other thing is...
Besides Chip.
There's a lot of negativity about R. Kelly because his fans are making a lot of noise outside the prison,
mm-hmm.
which is incredible. It's like, you know, I don't have anything to do this weekend. I think I'll go to the prison and I'm going to protest R. Kelly being in prison.
Make a noise.
What the fuck? So they apparently lock that prison down more often. Because
that's why he beat him up.
Oh, okay. Well, that's
why he beat him up because they're the. You know what? Now that you say it, I remember it. They kept getting locked down because of all that, and so they were pissed off at him. I'm 100% positive of that.
Okay, so the underage women has nothing to do with it, probably.
Well, I mean, that caused... Yeah, sure. No.
I mean, there's lots of reasons to beat him up, apparently.
Yeah.
More than we ever thought. Okay. So, you know what I want to
do? So many people have been stealing my money.
Speaking of murders, you see the two Detroit murderers that are getting a new trial because jurors use the internet?
No, I did not.
Yeah, they're granted a new trial. Two guys in 2009. I think they shot a guy in a drive-by. Yeah, fatally shot while at a red light in Detroit. DeErico Searcy, convicted of second-degree murder and attempted murder. And Daryl Ewing, convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison. The reason they're getting a new trial is because one juror found a Facebook photo of Ewing where he had a gun. And that's all it took to get him granted a new trial.
Oh, come on. You know... How stupid.
One photo. With a gun. I'm kind of mad at that juror for going online when they were told not to.
Yeah, it pisses me off.
But I'm also mad at the appellate court for saying, that's enough to retry.
Well, I never understand what it is that will change a court's opinion or will move someone to get a new trial or to have a verdict thrown out.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in the case of Bobby Ferguson, I don't know if you remember this, but when he was charged with... I forgot what the charge was. It was like...
It was an assault?
Assault with a deadly weapon or something. I mean, there were big charges involving major time. And the one juror just said, nope, no matter what you say, I'm not going to say guilty.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say not guilty. And she was into jury nullification.
Yep.
Well, to me, that should have been thrown out. They never retried him, though. it just, well, I guess he's not guilty because we had one crazy juror.
Does that make sense?
And the 11 jurors were, of course, livid because they'd taken the job very seriously. They truly believed he was guilty. They believed that they had every angle of this verdict to explain to her or to try to convince her if she had an open mind. But she didn't have an open mind. She just said, no, I'm just saying not guilty. I don't care what you say.
What a waste of time.
I know. And then it turned out she lied to get on the jury. She was a felon, and she should never have been on the jury in the first place. So why didn't they try him again?
I don't know.
What the fuck? Why wouldn't that be appealed?
Yeah, if it works one way, why wouldn't it work the other way?
And then if you watch 2020 Friday night, you see a case where, did you guys see it?
No.
I did. It was fascinating.
Yeah, it was very interesting because what happened was a 14-year-old girl who was hanging around with guys in their mid to late 30s, which is just like, man. What?
Yeah, seventh graders.
Yeah, seventh graders. Two twin girls, pretty girls, of course. And one of them goes home, but they were describing, they went out to a bar, they did this, they did that, and, I asked her to dance, and she wouldn't dance with me, but then she danced with my buddy, the 38-year-old asshole.
They were all drinking, including the seventh grader and the pregnant girlfriend of the roommate.
What?
Like, what?
She's on video going, she's all pregnant, she's like, yeah, I had three drinks.
Oh, man.
It's just the worst story. I mean, without any of what happens at the end, it's already a terrible story. But at some point, they go back to their place, the two guys and the pregnant girlfriend.
Where was your mother?
And by the way, the guy who got the girl pregnant, he's the one hitting hardest on the 14-year-old, and she has a big crush on him.
Oh, my God.
So eventually,
he's got huge arms.
He says the other guy and the girl are going to bed, so he decides, well, I'm going to take her home. And there's another guy who crashes on the couch there. I never heard much from him again, but he's like, oh, can you take me to the phone booth so I can call my girlfriend? This is like 1985, or 84.
Yeah.
And so they take him, they drop him off at the phone booth, and the girlfriend that he was talking to on the phone said, yeah, I just heard them honking in the background. They wanted him to hurry the fuck up because they were sick of waiting for him to get off the phone. So they took off without him. And I guess he had to walk home. So anyway, the one who was with her, the last, she ended up drowned in... Was she drowned, Brandon?
Well, first she was stabbed dozens of times with incredible defense wounds. Like parts of her hand were kind of just gone because she was just trying to prevent him from stabbing her. And she wouldn't die. And so he then dragged her into the water. Whoever the person is, that's the main theory.
Oh, we know who it was, I think.
Yes, and she...
He looked like Stephen King. Did he look like Stephen King a little bit, Brandon?
Yeah, that was a good... I was wondering kind of who he looked like.
He looked like Stephen King.
He looked weird. He looked vicious. And then when they arrested him, I'm telling you, he had big old guns. That guy was...
Yeah.
He had 1985 written all over him, too.
He was the first one in with the police. So he got to tell the first story, which was that,
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're going to take her home, and we stopped, and my roommate, he went out side with her, and I thought I heard some screaming or something, and the next thing you know, he comes back to the car, and she's not with him. I'm like, huh? What happened? But I was so fucked up, I just crashed, so I don't really know what happened.
And that's Jack Piercy.
Yeah, the Stephen King lookalike. Yep. So somehow this story, in spite of testimony from the pregnant girlfriend and from the girl that was on the phone with the guy who had to use the phone booth and him, both of them were convicted of murder, except that the guy who came in second said, no, I wasn't in the car, I went to bed, I was not in the car ride. And
Jim Daly,
yeah, so he got the death penalty.
Guy
that they believe really killed her got life.
Oh, because he gave up the story.
He gave up the story first, and then also there was a jailhouse snitch who testified that the other guy, the guy that allegedly didn't do it, quote-unquote, that he had bragged about it in prison. Well, the jailhouse snitch, it turned out, had snitched 28 times. He was like a regular snitch, and he was also...
Why do we put so much weight in jailhouse snitches?
Well, this guy, 28 times? Who would ever think somebody could snitch 28 times? Who could get 28 roommates that would tell you exactly what crime they committed? Not only that, he had...
Oh, so he told 28 other people.
Yeah, 20.
Oh,
he was involved in 28 different cases.
Gotcha.
Like 8 including death row.
Yeah, okay.
Or 8 that involved death row.
Yeah.
And they determined that he never could have been within like more than 10 feet of this guy. Wow. So like what, he yelled his confession to this guy? I mean, it was just ludicrous. And then the other thing was he had molested a 12-year-old girl, the guy, the snitch king.
Yeah.
And that was never...
The perfect liar, they called him.
The jury never found out about that.
Oh, great.
So it was just like so fucked up. So eventually, so this guy's on death row from age, what, 38 to 74. He's on death row, just living, and they keep getting, no, it's a William Estay, and he's supposed to be taken out at some point soon. So finally, Jack Piercy, the Stephen King lookalike, who we believe did it while the other guy was sleeping, he signed an affidavit in 2017 saying, you know what, this has gone on too long. He didn't have anything to do with it. I killed her.
Really? Why? What made him change his
heart? He was remorseful.
Really?
He allegedly was remorseful. Then they went back to him in 2019 because they were unable to get this appeal, and they went through it again with him, and he signed another affidavit saying that he did it and this Jack Riley had nothing to do with it. Then they tell him that we're actually going to get you in court to testify. We're trying to convince this judge, and he ends up saying that, well, you know what? My mom, it's where his mother lives. He said,
hi, mommy.
I will never admit it in front of my mom. So they put him on the stand anyway, and his mom is there, and he refused. His mom, why did his mom show up, by the way? It's like, oh, I got to go see my son. He's going to go testify that that he did it by himself or that they both did it together. I don't know which, but I just can't wait to see him.
Right. This guy just signed two affidavits that said, I am the only one that killed this girl, and Jim Daly is 100% innocent. He signed two of them, one in 2017, one in 2020. And then he gets in there, sits down in the court, looks his mom in the face, and he can't do it. Oh, so wow. This guy who's on death row who can die anytime, because right now they're just waiting for a signature from DeSantis. This guy gets completely screwed because this guy just will not admit it. And then,
but he signed two affidavits. What the fuck? You know, it reminded me of the case of the guy in Detroit, which was on ID Channel. They did a big story about him. He was in prison for 47 years. Oof. And it took, I think it was 9 years from the time that the other guy admitted that, no, he had nothing to do with it. He wasn't even there. He signed that in 2012, or I think it was 2011, and it didn't. They were unable to even get an appeal till 2019.
Wow.
So he sits there all that time, and then finally they get to this guy who had confessed, and they're like, oh, yeah, well, shit, yeah, let's let you out. So after 47 years, the last eight after this guy had admitted that he had nothing to do with it. I mean, it's just fucking crazy.
Why would it take so long? And you said DeSantis signed the death row, whatever he has to do, for the guy who was innocent or the other guy?
The guy that's innocent, they're just, he's on death row.
Yeah.
The guy who's innocent. And after 2020 laid out all these facts, I mean, to tell you the truth, it's, to me, it's pretty clear. I mean, all the evidence says that he had nothing to do with it, with the exception of wet pants. And that's a whole story.
That was from playing Frisbee when the guy got back and woke him up to smoke a couple joints. He went out and played Frisbee and he threw one in the water. I know, it's just fucking crazy.
Is Kim Kardashian working on getting him out?
No, because he's white.
Oh.
I kind of fell for the guy, though. He broke down a couple times in tears. I mean,
I felt bad for him, too. The thing that I appreciated about him, and I don't think this really helped him, was that he expressed remorse because he said he was living a shitbag life at the time. He didn't kill that girl, but he was remorseful that he had really not been a good person.
And it was Vietnam that messed him up because he was a family man. Young stud, had a couple kids, and he went to Vietnam, and he comes back, and he was just all messed up, and that kind of led him down that path. Sure.
Yeah, it was a tough story. You know, when he showed me that the super tattooed guy that beat up R. Kelly, that reminded me of this thing I saw on ID Friday, where this guy calls 911, and this is the 911 call was hilarious because the guy's like, "Hello, 911," goes, "Yeah, guy just got shot." It's like, dude, wait, slow down. Go back. Yeah, I got shot twice. Get out of here. You got me. This guy's in deep trouble. And it was just the funniest 911 call. But anyway, they get there, and this guy's dying of two gunshots. And so he's literally on, you know, like his last breath. And they go, who did this to you? And he goes, and actually, I think they had the video of that because the cop's body cam. Mm. So he goes, Cyclops. And they're like, Cyclops? He goes, yeah, Cyclops. And so they go to find Cyclops. Everyone
That's
knows
a great name.
Everyone knows who Cyclops is.
It's got to be a guy missing an eye, right?
He wasn't missing an eye. Cyclops had, he's got to have possibly the most tattoos ever. He is so tattooed, his head shaved, tattoos all over his head, all, and he has no shirt on. It's like, you know, wouldn't you put a shirt on before they took you in?
Yes, yeah.
No, he didn't want to have a shirt on because all his tats are showing. He's got hundreds of them all over him. And it's like, you know, the security camera's not that great. And so it's like, Jesus, it's hard to even look at this guy. It's like, is it one green, big green blob or are there many green blobs? And there were a lot of little ones, but they were so close together, it was hard to tell what anything was. So he is, he says he didn't do it. And they end up finding out that this other guy, I'm like, wait, why would this guy say Cyclops did it on his dying breath? And it turns out it's this other guy.
Why? What did, was
this, I don't know.
Last revenge against Cyclops?
Hey, that's kind of like The Fugitive, remember, with Harrison Ford when she's on the phone, she's yeah. dying, and who did this? And she says, Richard, which was her husband, Richard Harrison Kimball. Ford. And it wasn't him. It was the one-armed man.
It was so
Spoiler
weird.
Spoiler alert.
So then the guy, sorry, that the guy that they brought in who did do it, because this other guy drove him there and watched him shoot him, that guy was tattooed like crazy. Oh, my God. He had tons of tattoos, but it was just weird.
Is it Billy Mount? Is that his
Cyclops.
Name?
Yeah, Billy Mount. Oh, Mark, did you find the episode?
I just found a story on him. I'm looking for Billy Mount.
Because if you can find the 911 call, it is like the weirdest 911 call possibly ever.
Did Billy Mount make the 911 call?
No, it was the guy that lived at the property, and he just like saw this guy get shot in the front of his house. He's like, man, this guy's been shot. And then we're like, well, what do you mean? This is 911. What are you trying to
just
tell?
Just send a bambulance. It's only that guy?
Kind of.
And then, you know, I did catch Dateline, which featured the death of a husband, you know, and the funny...
I watched Dateline. I can't remember what it was, Brandon. What was the story?
What it was is it was a love triangle between three of the fattest people possibly ever.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. The pastor.
And it kept coming back because they were like, we've seen them having sex in the car. And then they were like, wait a minute. That's
no,
only a
fat.
Short bed truck. They won't fit in there. They can't possibly have sex. And then the entire funny. Murder gets solved by the fact that this fat bitch didn't eat her French fries.
I know. They're like, there's no way she could take her French fries home and just leave them there without eating them.
Seriously, they said that.
Yeah, because the place that made the fries was known for, you know, their fries were so good you had to eat them hot.
Oh, my God.
It's
ridiculous.
That was ridiculous. How did those people screw, by the way? And the pastor, this guy got pussy. He just got shit tons of pussy. He was like, why is he getting so much pussy? He's just a fat slob.
I wouldn't call him a pastor. They noted that he's had like 58 professions. So I think pastor was only like a 4-month gig for him.
Well, true, but he was her pastor.
He was just a load that was milking off of her. She was his meal ticket.
Yeah. No, he milked off everyone.
What a poorly planned murder when they come to your work desk and you have a picture of you and your husband. And then on the other side, you have a picture of you and your lover.
Yeah, your con man lover. No, I know. There was so much. And she also called 911 and said, I just got home and there's a table turned over and I can't find my husband. It's like, oh, you mean the husband that we're going to find down the hall? You could actually see his body laying on the ground from where you're calling from.
Right.
He was lying on the ground.
Yeah. Like, and everybody in the small town knew that they were banging. And...
Yeah, that was a wild story. Did you find the guy, Mark?
I'm looking for it. I found the episode.
You did?
The murder tapes.
It's at the very beginning of the episode.
I just don't know which episode it is.
Oh, shit.
Oh, here it is. Found it. Steve cool. Galvin.
Yeah, this. Trust me, this now. Oh, now I feel like this 911 call is going to be a big letdown.
No.
I built it up too much.
You did hype it.
I did. I really may have overhyped it.
And I don't know if I'll be able to speed through it because it's on demand.
It's right at the beginning. There might be like 30 seconds of the previous episode, and then I think it's pretty close to up front. I'm so pumped.
Everything changed when my father had his car accident.
Oh, that's not it. I don't know what that is.
What the hell are you talking about? Talk about things that matter. Oh, here we go.
Is this the intro? Oh my God, yeah, that guy
Cyclops.
Is tatted up.
That's Cyclops.
We don't know where the suspect is.
I'll tell you right now, if you interfere in our investigation, I will arrest you.
Movement, movement.
Okay, it's coming up.
You're considered armed.
We don't know what we're walking into. Are we walking into an ambush?
Do not do anything I do not direct you to do, otherwise you will be shot.
I'm looking for someone who has no care about human life.
Why would the last words out of his mouth be your name?
I like that he's being interviewed without his shirt on.
I know. Okay, here we go.
This is intense. And always starts with a drone.
The opening drone shot,
always,
yeah.
Drone shot.
Always. And I love it. I love the drone shots. All right, enough weird music. Let's hear the 911 call. Bring it. Here it is.
Police emergency line.
Lady, I don't know. The man is laying out here on the ground. He's hollering help. He's laying out here on the grass.
And what's going on, sir?
The man has been shot.
Do you know who shot him?
Lady, I don't know who shot the man. All I know is this. He's been shot. He's laying out here on the dirt.
And the man
could be dead.
Was that kind of a non sequitur 911 call?
That is a guy who was very annoyed his day was interrupted.
There's one more thing about the Dateline, the 911 call that the wife made. People need to realize as soon as you hit dial, it starts recording. So her 911 call starts like this. All right, my cell phone's going to die pretty soon. Oh, my God, my husband.
Yeah, because she's talking on the cell phone to the pastor.
You dope.
The con man. And then she just launches into, oh, my God.
And it made me think about when I called 911 to... after I hit that deer the other day, because I had to call the police to get insurance.
Ooh, so what did they hear you saying before you didn't know it was recording?
I don't know. I was like, what did I say?
Oh, shit, my pants. Hello. Hello. Hi. Yeah, I just hit a deer. that shot of that officer saying, you know, can we consider yourself armed? Did you see what the Warren police had to deal with?
This weekend?
Yeah.
The nine-hour standoff?
No, I don't think I saw the story.
And then the fire. And-
yeah. So 9:30 p.m. Friday, they got 911 calls of shots fired at this condominium complex, Hazen 12 Mile. Of course, a barricaded man.
Oh, boy.
Right? So he moved the credenza and everything in front of the door. And they dealt with him. Then he had threatened police and said he's going to burn his house down. Then at 7:30 a.m., he set fire to the condo, broke a second floor window, jumped out with a 9mm, and said that he threatened officers then, and they kept telling him to drop the weapon. He refused, and they fatally shot him.
Oh, boy. Is he white?
After 9 hours. You know what? I don't know. They didn't give out the name or anything.
I'm thinking a standoff guy's probably white.
Warren condo?
Yeah, I was going more by the standoff than the location, but yeah Warren, probably. I think, is predominantly white.
Standoff's a white person thing?
I think so.
That's interesting. Probably.
I think so. Maybe I'm wrong. I mean, I doubt there's any data on that. Let's
go with it. No, they probably is.
Standoff people, are they white or black?
Should we put a Twitter poll?
I could just see that it was a 36-year-old man. I don't see any other.
What a nightmare, though.
Identifiers.
Nice, so nice making the police have to deal with a standoff for 9 hours overnight.
Did he die?
Yeah.
Fatally I wonder how many times did they shoot him?
I didn't say.
I guess if he's holding a gun, you got to take him out.
Speaking of Twitter polls, 92% now feel that Steve Bing is not an attractive man.
And he's in his hottest picture. I mean, that's his hottest face. That's the hottest face he can make.
Bing!
Someone did say that his bone structure is a 10 out of 10.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay. There are a couple things I wanted to, since we're on true crime, there are a couple pieces of audio I thought were interesting. This is so crazy. This 48-year-old guy claims that he caught his wife cheating on him. She's 30. And so he murders her, and then he goes live on Facebook.
What?
And records a message for his kids.
What?
You got it, Brandon?
How old are his kids, just out of curiosity?
I think they were little.
She's 30, so yeah.
Yeah, she was much younger. I think he references that.
Were they her kids, too?
Yes, they were their kids.
Because if he's 18 years old, I don't know if he had another...
All right, and this is Ted Patchell. I mean, Trent Patchell.
I'm recording this because I want my daughter to know that I love you, Mackenzie Pascal.
Oh, nice doctor.
I'm so sorry that I've done this. I want you to know that you mean everything to me. And William, I love you too. I love you so much. I love you like you're my own.
That's her kid from the previous thing.
I didn't choose this. Your mom chose this.
Oh, fuck.
She's been cheating on me for a long time. I have audio of her talking to other guys.
Actual audio.
I didn't do nothing wrong to her.
Step killer.
When we first got together, I told her, you're too young for me. There's an 18-year-old difference in her age. And I knew she was kind of too young. But I didn't, she's been playing me for a fool. I told her not to mess with me, not to mess with my emotions. Don't play with me. I got an audio where she was calling a guy yesterday on her way to get her eyelashes done. And she said, hey, baby. And he goes, hey. And I was like, that's not my voice. Why is she calling somebody else baby?
Why are you listening?
And she started talking about a dream and everything. And she had with them too about sex and everything. And I put everything into this relationship. I have done nothing to your mom. I've never hit her. I've never hurt her. I've never called her names.
Oh, except for this time.
A couple of times when I got really mad.
Oh, okay, great.
I would say a bad word or something, but I've done everything I can.
No, you're perfect.
I haven't done anything wrong.
Oh, yeah, you have. You killed her.
I'm like, why me? My hair's a mess and I look horrible.
What?
Oh, sorry.
Well, that's why
take these off.
That's why she found a different guy.
Pause for a second.
That's why she found a different guy, right?
He just noticed that his hair looks terrible.
You are one pathetic loser.
Can you believe he just said, oh, my God, my hair looks terrible. Yeah. Back that up. It's so weird.
I would also like to point out, his hair doesn't look that bad.
No. He's a narcissist.
Never hit her.
Yeah. Well, I've never done anything wrong.
Hurt her. I've never called her names. A couple of times when I got really mad, I would say a bad word or something, but I've done everything I can. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm like, why me? My hair's a mess and I look horrible. Oh, sorry. Take these off.
These glasses.
Hard to believe your marriage is working out.
I love you, Kenzie. I love you so much. Please do something good with your life.
Unlike you.
Please do something really good because you deserve a good life. And
yeah, thanks for helping.
I don't know what else to say. I'm so sorry. I don't have better words right now.
You see, it sounded a little like Gwyneth Paltrow there when you started to cry. Crying.
I was thinking Gary Schmidt.
Oh, yeah. Mike Schmidt. I'm just so glad the dream came true.
I thank God the dream came true.
I was thinking more
recording
like
this.
The Mary Wigmore part of the
conversation? Yeah, my earthly guardian angel.
Yeah. Because doesn't she start, her voice starts cracking?
I'm so sorry. I don't have better words right now.
Oh, I thank God the dream came true.
Not bad.
That's a great drop, by the way.
I can't believe. He's just taken both parents away from the kids, and he says he hasn't done anything wrong.
Yeah.
He might have overreacted just a little bit.
The good news is that a deputy got to shoot him, so they don't know what his condition is right now.
Oh, he was shot?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
So he's recording that with a bullet in him?
No. This is right after he did it, and then he went on, he disappeared. So a neighbor captured a recording of Trent on the phone with her aunt.
Uh-huh.
And this neighbor says that you can hear him confessing that he shot Savannah. But then he was on the lam, and they caught up with him not too far away. And after a confrontation, a deputy shot him, and he was transported to the hospital. They don't know if he's
okay. He didn't do anything wrong. Oh, my God, his hair.
So she came home, I guess, and this is really kind of confusing.
How does he hear her phone calls, by the way?
Well, I'm so sorry I don't have better words right now. I'm so glad
I thank God the dream came true.
He shot his wife after emerging from the shower of the master bedroom's bathroom where he had been hiding.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
They found her unresponsive. Her mom, who was there with her daughter, survived the incident and told police Trent jumped out of the shower as she entered the bathroom. He stated that he was going to shoot both her and Savannah.
Nice.
Savannah's mom shut the bathroom door on Trent and started running out of the bathroom towards the front of their house.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
She
was way too hot for him anyway.
Oh, she
was.
Beautiful.
She was too hot for him. He was right.
What a fucking
18 years is probably too much at that age. 48 and 30, although they were married years before that.
I don't know if it's they had two kids.
I know. Just saying.
Wait, how long ago? I wonder how long they got. Was it a 7-year itch thing? Because he's such a loser.
Yeah, she did. I mean, it's too bad she got knocked up by a total loser.
Yeah.
She
thinks he's hot, man, in these pictures.
Let me see.
Brandon showing him here. Let me switch that over. You can see him over there. Look at that one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Tough guy.
Santa Fe strong.
Cowboy.
Oh, that poor girl.
Well, she's pretty. Yeah, he's not hot enough.
I wonder who this other dude is.
Yeah, I know. And but how is he hearing her phone calls?
Because he's monitoring her. Clearly.
Oh, he's got spyware or something?
Clearly, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, see, there you go. That's what I saw at the beginning of the show. This business of people just thinking it's okay to, yeah, I'm going to put a tracker on her car, make sure she's not, you know, going anywhere I don't want her to go.
Yeah.
I mean, this is going on all over the place. The fucking Bachelor did it.
The Bachelor?
Yeah, Colton put a tracker on Cassie's car.
That's the final line, if a Bachelor did it.
Well, I mean, it was off the show.
Yeah. No, it wasn't on the show.
Still, they're kind of nutty people. That's why they get on that show.
But he's presented as this wonderful guy, you know, who played pro football and was a virgin. And then it turns out that, he's kind of a restraining order kind of guy.
Mr. Trent, by the way, who has never done anything wrong, has several theft charges on his record.
Oh, must be a mistake.
Including one
I was going to say.
Just happened in August.
I can see it. He's got mugshots.
Yeah.
So either he survived the shooting or he's been arrested in the past.
He's been arrested in the past.
You know, that's incredible. So this fuck is listening in on her phone calls. Is that easy to do?
You
set that up with a cell phone?
I don't know.
To listen to someone's cell phone calls?
I don't know. Although the new software update for Apple, when something's recording you, video or sound, no matter what the app is, a little light pops up.
Oh, that's
a blue
nice.
Light, right? Blue?
Yeah, a little. I think it's orange, isn't it?
Well, or is it green?
His line about, I heard her say, hey, baby, and then I didn't hear my voice. There's no law that when someone says, hey, baby, your voice has to be next, you dick.
Hey, babe, hey. Why aren't I hearing my voice on this song?
Oh, here's Derek St. Holmes. Damn it.
Why is it Trent Pascal on
I'm
here?
I'm shooting somebody.
I'm going to hide my shower till Derek St. Holmes comes over. What a concept.
He actually books him. He gets GoFundMe to get Derek St. Holmes.
Hey, he was shot outside of Walmart. I don't know what that means, if anything.
Oh, my God, what a loser.
They said there was a confrontation, so I'm trying to see what it is.
How, you know, what? He said he's never done anything wrong. He's been busted for theft multiple times. I mean, obviously there's something askew.
Here's why he was shot. So they pulled him over. They saw him leave Walmart, and they followed and pulled him over. He pulled out a pistol.
This dumb fuck.
He probably wanted suicide
by cop.
He'd never done anything wrong before it either.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I hate this guy.
And by the way, that light on your app, it's a green light.
What's the orange one mean then?
I don't know. Probably your battery's low.
Uh-oh.
Brandon, there was the other piece of audio of this is, you know, I didn't know exactly what to make of this, but the report was that Offset and Cardi B in separate vehicles were driving through a Trump rally. And it sounded like they were doing this sort of in a trolley kind of way because he was recording himself on Instagram. And I don't know what Cardi B was doing. She didn't get in any trouble. Offset ends up, somebody called 911 and said that his license plate, there was someone in the car waving a gun outside the car. Now,
was he? I mean, do we know?
According to witnesses, he was. But, I mean, would those people know he's Offset and that he hates Trump? I don't know. If he said something shitty about Trump, then, somebody might have called in a fake
tell
thing.
If someone's Mexican, if they're a celebrity.
That's right. Now, I believe, Brandon, was he busted with a gun? I think he was, wasn't he?
No.
He
was not arrested. He was just detained for a moment, which is shown on the video. But I believe... Another Man was definitely arrested.
Cardi B's, I think they thought it was her cousin was arrested for having a gun.
Hmm. Unlicensed or something, unregistered gun.
Okay. I'm scared.
Okay, now I'm thinking, were they in the same car? Because it didn't seem like anybody else was in the car when he got out of the car, or maybe they were in the car. Because he was in the passenger seat, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's filming himself on Instagram Live.
Okay, so maybe Cardi's in the back and the other cousin is in the front. Hmm. Okay, I completely...
I'm scared.
I totally misinterpreted that. Well, he could have been waving her cousin's gun and handed it to her cousin when they got pulled over.
Or maybe the cousin was waving it. It has nothing to do with Offset. They just called and said the driver.
Yeah, it could have been the cousin waving it. Yeah, but they didn't. So they did not arrest him.
No, he was only detained.
Okay.
Why not?
Because you got guns out.
That's my choice.
I'm not going to move my hand from my stand world.
We were told that you guys were waving.
You celebrity, you know who I am. I'm Offset from the Migos. They're fans. That's why they following me, bro.
That has nothing to do with why we're here. We were told you guys were waving guns.
You just watched somebody beat my car up with a flag. What are you talking about?
I need you to turn.
You told me put my hands up. I'm not doing that. You put my hands up. It's 25,000 people in my life.
I'm telling you.
You're going to get sued
right
publicly.
To turn off the car.
Don't move, man. Open this door.
No, that's not legal. You can't just open my door.
Yeah, I can.
No, you can't.
Offset right now. Esquire.
You can't just open my door. You can't just open my door.
He's getting so many likes.
You can't just open my door. It's illegal. I'm going to sue the shit out of y'all. Y'all know who I am?
Y'all don't know who I am? I guess not.
What is you grabbing my fucking wrist for? That's so aggressive, bro.
Because he has to get out of the car.
Why not?
Don't you just wish the officer at that time would go, I'm just trying to do my job?
Well,
I
don't
job.
Think that he's really doing a very good job of de-escalating.
Offset? No, I know.
And considering the fact that, the last time he was pulled over, he had three guns in the car, and he was arrested for them, although I think he said that they were somebody else's guns. Remember that one?
Yeah, I think so.
In California?
Yeah.
And so this time... Cardi B's cousin apparently said it was his gun, although he did get arrested. So I love the he thinks that everyone should know who Offset is. He just can't believe I'm Offset from Migos. You don't know who I am?
He should have just said I'm married to Cardi B.
Exactly.
I'm Mr. Cardi B.
Oh, he couldn't say that, could he? And she's back with him.
Yeah.
Government.
And she's off social media because of it, because she took so much shit from her 15-year-old fans.
I think it's just Twitter.
Was it just Twitter?
Yeah, you can still get her gram.
Okay.
So there's video of him being detained, too, from the outside, but there's really nothing else to it, I guess. Right.
So that's interesting. He wasn't arrested, so I wonder how his lawsuit's coming along.
He's probably going to file it tomorrow morning.
Hmm. He didn't seem that afraid of the police for some reason.
No, because he's Offset for the Migos.
I guess so.
And then they find a gun in the car. After all that. What's the chance of that?
Well, that's
what I got for today's Mike Clark real quick. It's going to be the time that all of Mike Clark's MSU calls were featured on TV.
What?
And then you guys went back and listened to it and...
When were they on TV? I don't remember this. Do you remember this?
Or maybe they were featured in a newspaper. It was one of the two. Like it got a reference or a mention.
Did Sminty write about them?
Yeah, I think Sminty may have.
Well, that's funny.
So it's a nice collection, especially after MSU's loss over Rutgers.
Game one, relax.
The first time that they won a conference game in, 21 attempts?
Yeah, it's been a while.
It's crazy.
I mean, that was not a good way to start, but... I just have a feeling that the cupboard is pretty bare in East Lansing, but we'll see.
Okay, well, if you really want to get into it, which you probably don't, but did you watch a lot of the game?
I watched some of the game. I didn't watch a ton of the game. I watched maybe altogether probably a quarter.
I watched a lot of it, and I don't know why they didn't throw the ball more. They seemed insistent of just running into the middle of the line, especially on like 4th and 3. There were a couple times they went for it. I'm like, where'd you call that play?
I don't know. Because it seemed like, did they throw the ball well at all? It didn't throw the ball too badly when I was watching.
Oh, but they couldn't run the ball. So I'm like, well, and that transfer from Western Michigan, what's his name, Jalen, I can't remember his last name, looked really good. It's like, just get the ball in that guy's hands, man. I don't know. It seemed like this ultra-conservative play calling, but then again, when you throw that many interceptions.
Yeah, the Virginia Tech game was driving me crazy because they were down 10 with about 6 minutes left, and they're running.
Yeah.
It's like they're either handing it off to the running back or the quarterback is running it. And granted, they're picking up eight yards a clip, but it's like, but you're running the clock.
You take what the defense gives you.
Why?
And they also outgained Wake Forest. Was it Wake Forest they played?
Wake Forest. They were, I mean, they were game. Okay, they threw 3 interceptions, and it was just a stupid
one. Was a
game.
Bad luck one, though.
Yeah, that was right before halftime. They were on the 4 yard line, or the 7 yard line, or the 10 yard. Oh, the 10 yard line. You know what? They were on the 4 yard line twice of Wake Forest, and both times. Well, they were on the 4 yard line more than twice because they scored 16 points. But
who cares?
they were on the 4 yard line twice and lost 7 yards on a running play. By the same back.
Oh,
I know. So it's like, oh, first and goal from the 4. Oh, second 11 from the 11. And the third time, the other time was third and 11 because they lost 7 on second. Jesus Christ.
You know who didn't throw an interception? Joe Milton.
No, he didn't. He played a damn near perfect game, and I could not get over how well he ran.
Brandon said that game was over after the first quarter, and I disagreed with him.
Well, it was for me, because that's when I changed it, and I'm glad I did, because I was able to catch the World Series, and that was a much better game than the final 3 quarters of that Michigan game.
Wrong.
Well,
World Series game was incredible, but it was funny to me when the guy kicked that stupid kickoff, and the Michigan guy ran it back to the 2 yard line or whatever. Mm-hmm. What was the score after Michigan scored there?
It was right before the half because it was like a 17-yard drive with 3 minutes left or something.
35-17?
Yeah, sounds right.
Anyway, I just remember thinking, well, Minnesota, they can't kick off. I mean, kicking off is a disaster. Punting is a disaster. How could they possibly get in this game?
Couldn't find someone to onside it every time and just get crazy?
Well, that would have been better than what they were doing.
Yeah.
And their punting was just so terrible. But
that game was not over until the third quarter when they turned it over on downs.
Yeah, that was big. Yeah.
From, he won they, by 25 points.
But well, it was close.
They, but
was
they were on
11.
Weren't they on the 10-yard line with... And they were down 18. So if they scored, they'd be down 11. And they could have gotten into it, but I didn't think they were going to. Michigan just played a really good game. I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm sure, though, they should kick State's ass. I bet that could be bloody.
On paper.
Yeah. Well, Zoe, you never know with these two teams. The team with the most rushing yardage always wins. They always say that.
I'm just glad they beat a ranked opponent on the road so that ends some of those streaks, even if... You know, Minnesota wasn't nearly what they should have been.
Yeah, I don't. You know, I kind of thought Michigan Minnesota would be pretty good.
I thought Minnesota was going to beat them,
but maybe Michigan is just better than people say.
Minnesota's worse.
Maybe.
I wanted to mention that Gretchen Whitmer had another. She had an appearance on, I think, Meet the Press today.
Yeah,
and. She said I don't know if she said this on Meet the Press or she said this just to our media, but she said the Trump rally Tuesday is a recipe for disaster. Don't attend events like this. Now, I'm sure people are going to listen to her and not go. Mm-hmm. We've seen COVID outbreaks from events like this. Well, whoever did the story then said, and I should have written it down, said the Michigan Department of Health and Human Services says there's little evidence that a Trump rally spread COVID-19. Whitmer told Anderson Cooper that the state has tracked spread associated with Trump's rallies. We've been doing contact tracing, and there has been spread. It's not surprising. Well, then the reporter said, as far as the two rallies, the Department of Health and Human Services has been made aware of one case from the Freeland rally. Whitmer on Channel 4.
One case?
Because
there were
case.
A lot of people in Freeland.
That's what I'm just reading the story. Whitmer on DVD wouldn't comment on the future of winter school sports. If it was my child, I'd pull them out.
Yeah.
Parents need to take personal responsibility for their kids. Stores and restaurants that fail to enforce mask mandate, you should make the choice to walk out. Let's take the politics out of public out of a public health crisis. Lives and livelihood are on the line.
Ooh, somebody she says piss people off that line.
Take the politics out if she says the rallies are spreading COVID.
Yeah.
and that Trump is responsible for her kidnapping plot. No one wants to see us take steps backwards. I have a terrible feeling about this, but if it keeps growing, that will be necessary. And she hopes Biden wins. Oh, she thought she was going to take the politics out of this. Hopes Biden wins. We don't have a national strategy. It's been on governors to take action. And then the Slotkin campaign reports that threats of violence were made to the, what's her first name?
Alyssa.
Alyssa Slotkin.
Yeah.
This was reported to police. And yeah, she said she is speaking publicly because the climate is so much worse. It was a voicemail using threatening, sexually explicit, and violent language. The Lansing police and the U.S. Capitol police were notified, who traced the call to a young person who was not arrested because they said the person was not a threat. And then Slotkin said law enforcement will be involved in each and every threat we receive. Boy, wouldn't you wish that the females in your life or the females that you care about could get this kind of action anytime they get a threatening voicemail?
Yeah, but the law, it applies to political, or not political, but public employees.
Well, but if someone threatens you on a voicemail, it doesn't matter who you are or what you do. The threat is equal.
Not in the eyes of the law.
Well, but people that threaten you probably know you. I mean, if someone threatens their ex-wife,
it's right or wrong, but if you threaten a political or a government position like that, it's different than just threatening you or me.
Well, I think it probably is acted on less, if I had to guess. I don't have any numbers.
Probably.
But, I mean that seriously. If you are threatened by someone, don't you wish you could get the same kind of response as opposed to, well, I haven't done anything yet. But, I mean, they traced the phone call. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to get the phone call traced and find out who called a threat to you? Or
stay on the line. Just hang on. Okay, good. Yeah, okay, I got a trace on.
Or at least have the police say, okay, we know it's your ex-husband, and, you know, make a note of it or make some kind of a record that made a threatening call. But, okay, will you load this? Don't say anything. I just want people to listen to the first.
Is that what I'm supposed to, like, type that whole thing in?
Yeah, it's that's a band and a song.
Is that
a tour? It's a cover song.
Is that a two or a Z?
That's a Z.
Okay.
Did he give you, like, a youtube.com/RBZ capital D?
No.
No, it's a cover from, I think it's 1985, and who sent that to me? Thanks for sending it, by the way. I had completely forgotten about this. I actually know this song. It's a little different. You may not recognize it right out of the gate. Do you know, Brandon? Know the song?
No. Not right now.
I get up. Nothing gets me down.
All right.
Well, you've got it tough.
It's a Aztec camera. Toughest
song around.
Jump. Probably
and I know
the most unusual Van Halen cover I can think of.
Baby, just how you feel.
Are there any good Van Halen covers out there?
Doesn't Dave Grohl do one where he mixes it with John Lennon?
Oh, live? With Imagine?
I thought so, yeah. Not bad. Oh, man, hang on.
They made it their own.
My favorite cover of a Van Halen song. I can't think of the name of it.
On the subject, Brandon sent the story about Eddie calling Ozzy drunk at 4 in the morning and asking him to be his lead singer after Sammy left.
It's my favorite Van Halen cover.
Wait, is this Roland?
It's the Moog Cookbook. Very underrated album.
How many tracks are on this?
It's all instrumental. All on Moogs. Come on, tell me you can't dig this. It's pretty sweet. Brandon, no feedback?
It's like 8-bit.
I like Goofus covers.
Here's the track listing. Born to be Wild, Cat Scratch Fever, Sweet Home Alabama, More Than a Feeling, Whole Lot of Love, Ziggy Stardust, 25 or 64, Hotel California, yeah! Rock and Roll All Night.
Wait, what song is this?
I'm talking about love.
I'm talking about love, that's right. I got completely lost. What's the artist's name?
It's the Moog Cookbook.
The Moog Cookbook.
I think they have another
That's
album.
The band. The
I
Moog
like
Cookbook.
This version.
Of course you do, Hawk. All right, get us out of here.
Right up my lee.
Here's Black Hole Sun. Sorry, all right.
Black Hole Sun.
Oh, I think Hawk can sing lead on this.
Want to come?
Alrighty.
And it's wash away the rain.
Nice, Hawk. I like the way he seems to somehow get some emotion across.
Thanks.
Is Carl right this week?
Yeah, Carl is on Wednesday's show. Oh, wait. No, Tuesday's show. I'm sorry. No, Wednesday's show. Wednesday show.
Recorded Tuesday Wednesday. For Wednesday.
And, boy, there's a lot of stuff out there, too, that I listened a little bit of the Dead and Gone podcast. I don't know why Jake Brennan is starting to Dreamweaver me, the Disgraceland guy.
Oh.
And the podcast got a ton of attention. I'm sure it did pretty well, but...
Oh, the Grateful Dead?
It's got two, yeah. It's got two narrators. I'm not sure I need two narrators. That shouldn't really matter.
Why would
I want to give it another try. I think maybe something was wrong with me.
Ayn Lindsay is the other, I suppose.
Yeah. And then Kirstie Alley has a podcast I really want to listen to because I have a feeling Carl maybe dig into that one. Something tells me. I don't know what. By the way, I saw that, what's her name? Sophia F?
Oh, yeah. Call Sophia
Daddy.
With an F, yeah.
I checked her out. First of all, she's dropping in the chart. She's like number 12 now. And oh my God, the reviews are so bad. People hate her.
Real quick, 93% say Steve Bing is not attractive.
Yes.
Ew.
The story this morning on Mike's phone messages for Michigan, Michigan State. Why don't we load one of those? Just in case we have some new listeners who haven't heard them yet. A new listener in the last week, perhaps. I still think we could put out a CD of those phone messages and probably make a lot of money for charity. Who's the gal that called you, Carol?
Carol Hopkins.
Carol Hopkins,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Carol Hopkins called Mike about the phone messages, and she's got a story on, is it A8 or A9?
A9.
A9 of the Oakland Press this morning, and it's a bolded story. It's a pretty big story about Mike's infamous Michigan, Michigan State phone messages and the fact that you can expect some more on Monday. Now, all of us will have our phones shut off, and and if you feel the need to pop off, we certainly will be waiting for your calls, although I don't know how you could top any of these. Let's see,
yeah,
which one is
hard to top the stuff that's been laid down, that's for sure.
I'm trying to think which one of these is my favorite. It's fun to hear the ones where Michigan State is winning because we haven't played those much.
They're all great.
Yeah, they're all great.
These three are 2004. These are 2005. There's some more 2005s too.
Why don't we haven't heard this in a million years. Remember that big slob that returned that fumble about 80 yards for a touchdown to give Michigan or put Michigan State back in that game last year? And did they determine that? They tried to do a review on that, and they determined the play was as called.
Yeah, it was.
Did Michigan throw the bag?
Yeah, it was a touchdown.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I bag, but did they review it?
I think so.
I thought they did, too. But anyway, it was determined that it was indeed a touchdown return, and here's Mike's message following. Is it Pico?
Yeah, Demeco or
whatever.
Saturday, October 1st at 3:06 p.m.
Oh, unbelievable play. Here we are with 6:43 remaining. Batted the ball down off of Henny, and the big lumbering nut job with the red hair down to his ass frizzed out, lumbers down the field in to tie the score. Oh, my God, unbelievable. Oh, my God. 31-30. Oh, my God, I can't believe it. I've been sitting here. The only thing you can say about this game is it's... it's a good game, and it's a nail biter, and I never expected it to be like this, and I'm just trying to stay calm and just let this thing play.
Oh, out. You were expecting an ass kicking, weren't you? Because they were 4-0, ranked 10th.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
I just have to enjoy the game and relax. Otherwise, I'm going to have a cardiac. So, and I can't believe we actually had a kick blocked. I can't even believe that. But anyway, all right, I guess that's it, man. This thing is a lot more crazy than I ever thought it was going to be. And I'm trying to do what you told me earlier. Just realize Hart's in there, and Michigan's the underdog. They're playing hard. And we're up against a serious team here. And
I don't remember this at all.
We'll see if the Spartans are the real deal. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I don't need this kind of excitement on Saturday. I just don't. This game really isn't even any fun to watch. It just sucks watching. It's too nerve-wracking for me. This isn't even fun. All right, man, I guess that's about it. I'm just going to let this thing play out and try not to die over it. Over and out.
I would say the greatest revelation in Carroll's story in the Oakland Press this morning is that Mike wears loose clothes for the Michigan-Michigan State game so he can flail his arms without being restrained.
Saturday, October 30th at 6:45 p.m.
Drew, Mike, it is over, my man. Oh, my God, we just ran one all the way in. Whoa-ho-ho-ho. Oh, baby.
This is following a DeAndre Cobb touchdown run of about 65, 70 yards, I believe.
And I'm going to be a fool and declare it over, even though, you know, it's always, you never know with Michigan. But come on, it can never come in. 27-10 with 8:43 left in the fourth. This has got to be certain victory.
You're clearly trying to convince yourself.
Oh, dear God. And in the big house. Oh, baby. Oh, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Yeah, boy. Too bad for Michigan. Who just bobbled a kickoff return, by the way. Down at the 7. Yeah, but I bet you Mr. Fellhauer is very bummed out indeed. Very upset indeed. See ya.
Yesterday at 12:32 p.m.
Marcus, Mike, I'm not here to acknowledge defeat, but I'm almost ready to acknowledge defeat. I can't believe it. Michigan went right through us for the first score. We come out, it's our turn. Stanton throwing the ball all over the place. I don't know what he's doing to double coverage. Not a green shirt for Miles. We just had a stupid kick.
Not a green shirt for Miles.
First. I can't believe that asinine kick giving Michigan great field position. Stanton running all over the field. The offense is broken down completely. I don't know what the f*** is going on here. This is not the Spartans that we've all come to know and love so far this year. I'm not calling to acknowledge defeat. I'm just making a preliminary call to advise you that I'm nervous, but remain very flimsily confident. Oh, my God. All right. You just scored.
Can you believe how often this happens and somebody scores during the message?
During the message.
14-0. So, okay. God, what the f***? That's bullshit. All right, well, I guess it's over. Well, Drew, look how fast it turned around. Now there's 6 minutes left. One touchdown behind. Michigan.
This might be the best one.
And pulls away from behind. They always come from behind. Who would have thought the Spartans would completely, totally, and thoroughly come unglued? What an asinine, what a asinine onside kick. I can't believe the son of a bitch that tried to catch that thing like a line drive. You know, and I knew the minute he threw the ball, it was going to be a touchdown. Leave it to the Spartans to throw the entire motherfucking game away. To throw the whole damn game away.
Correct me if I'm wrong here, but in the waning minutes
of the fourth quarter.
Is the score 27-20 Michigan State at this point? After that onside kick, and then there's a touchdown pass to Braylon.
This is the message after
two messages ago when he's declaring it over with 8 minutes left.
Right.
Michigan State is going to win. We're up 27-10 with 8 minutes left.
Right.
This is 5 minutes later when Michigan has.
But isn't it still Michigan State 27-20?
Yeah. Okay. Michigan is still losing at
right.
this point.
Okay. Just wanted to make that clear.
He's acknowledging defeat.
Right.
Acknowledging defeat with 6 minutes left to play. Michigan, in the end, is probably going to beat us by two touchdowns, and it's over. I'm already saying it. The Spartans have lost. I've had it. You know what? I don't think I'm ever going to support them again, ever. I'm super tired of being disappointed. Time and time again, there comes a point where, you know, you support a team until it reaches a point where you're a fool to support them any longer. And to support the Spartans any longer is to be a fool. I've had it. The blue, the goddamn green and white. I'm sick and tired of being disappointed. I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of this crushing disappointment, bitter disappointment. It always let you down in the end. Every god.
This is where I started feeling sorry for you.
Up three scores. My God. They'd have to score three times to tie them. And by God, if they're not within a touchdown with 6 minutes. That's
sure
like
enough.
Having a half a day. To Michigan is an entire day to get the squared away. And all the momentum is with Michigan, I'm sure, and all this with O'Dowd
carrying
the boat as well. Drew Stanton is the one that put them on the map, and when he went out, apparently it was over. Mother damn this bull. Well, that's it. I've had enough. I'm just telling you, the Spartans are going to lose, and lose big. All right, man. I'm telling you, I might even shut the game off, really. Seriously, I think I'm going to shut off the TV. I've had it.
Spartans, of course, ended up losing in overtime, as they have the last two seasons.
As predicted.
Imagine that. Two straight overtime defeats. What will happen tomorrow at 4:30?
Honest to God,
I have no idea. I have utterly no idea.
I could see Michigan. Good idea, unfortunately,
I could see Michigan winning 35-14. I could see Michigan winning 30-27. I could see Michigan winning 17-14. Unfortunately, it seems like it's hard to predict a Spartan victory, doesn't it?
It really does. It takes a lot. I mean, really, honestly, to come out and think the Spartans are going to win is to really be awfully foolish.
Although. They're going to be pretty peeved after losing the last two games, especially that Illinois loss.
Oh,
I mean, I got to believe they got to be sky high as they could possibly be for this game. But I still can't. I still have a hard time predicting a Michigan State victory.
Yeah, no matter what. Bitch!